Hello, I'm David Rothenberg, and I'll be the keynote speaker at the 11th Anniversary Awards Dinner for Citizens Against Recidivism, a not-for-profit organization that addresses the needs of the formerly and the currently incarcerated. The event will be held at the Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz Center on Saturday night, October 21st, from 5:30 till 9. For ticket information, please go to www.citizensinc.org or call 347-626-7233, extension 3. Again, for ticket information, please go to www.citizensinc.org or call 347-626-7233. And don't forget extension 3. I'm David Rothenberg, and I hope to see you there.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. This is Night Shift.
Night Shift.
It's your favorite show?
It's my favorite show. Favorite show.
And Mike Sargent, if you're listening, this is the first gap in your program. The other one is 45 minutes long in the middle of the show. So if you're tuned in, please get back to me. Maybe repair the show, re-upload it. I don't know what we're going to do. I may just cut out the missing segment and your show will be short. I don't know what else to do. So, Mike, right on it, as usual. Is this gap over yet? I thought it was only like a 30-second gap, but, you know, the show will commence again in a moment. And then we have, half an hour or so before the major error occurs.
Byron Saunders,
yes,
we're
Mike.
Here ready to do the show live and on tape. There's a play that's opening up this Friday. It's part of the Theater for the New City's Dream Up Festival 2017. It's a play called I Am Antigone, and it's adapted from the Sophocles piece. The piece was adapted by Sadamini Sigrist, and it's being directed by Miriam Sear, and it stars Nicole Ansari. And I have an interview with Miriam and Nicole that I'm going to play for you talking about the piece. But I do want to give a little context to playing it here on Night Shift and why we're doing it. If you're not familiar with the piece Antigone and who Antigone is and who Sophocles was, just know that it was a Greek tragedy. And a Greek tragedy is a very specific thing. It's a very specific kind of play. It's a very specific kind of work. And it sprang from a very specific kind of civilization. And the thing about stories is the stories that a civilization tells, whether there's genre stories like the kind of science fiction we got in the 50s with, you know, nuclear terror in the air, or the thoughtful science fiction we got in the 60s. A Greek tragedy is a very specific thing, and it springs from a very specific culture. And what's great about good stories is that they are somewhat timeless. They are as relevant when they came out as when they are told again, or recreated, or redone. A great story, a great play, can come back to Broadway at any time, and it'll still be as entertaining. Sometimes things have to be updated. Sometimes things are recast. But sometimes a perspective can shift on a story that is well-known, that is classic, and we have I Am Antigone. Now, Byron, tell me your relationship to Antigone, just to give people who listen who don't know, they just know you as Byron Saunders. You're much more than merely Byron Saunders. You're a dramaturg, you're an actor, a director, a theater director. You've directed many, many plays. You've been through probably every process of theater making. What's your familiarity with the play Antigone, and what's your thoughts on Greek theater and Greek tragedy in general?
Okay, that relationship goes way back, by the way. Okay. So that understood.
You're older than I thought.
Just by a couple hours. That's all. Okay. But because I went to a parochial school and ultimately went to a high school that did Latin and Roman Western civilization
as part of what you studied.
We studied Latin. We studied history. who studied global history. So my contextual relations.
You fell in love with history, by the way.
Absolutely.
Really, in parochial school.
Because it was during the 60s. It was during the Kennedy assassination. It was during King assassination. It was Patrice Lumumba. It was the Civil Rights Movement, the March on Washington. So my contextual notion is that Civil Rights era, so that from that perspective, all things moving forward from there and my involvement has been a part of my commitment to work toward a kind of freedom. Liberation, because I understand that history has a way of and must really be corrected for us to get along globally. Mm-hmm. And that's everybody's history, mm-hmm. not just mine. My own perspective is that I'm African-American, and my history needs to be told truthfully
from
my perspective.
I'm with you.
And an Asian person, I respect that. Because all history has good people. So my thing is, let's focus on how we bring together to correct what is we all know is wrong, but we must come together to correct it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I can't say it more simple than that.
Something I just know, and I'm with you, just on the Night Shift Facebook page, which is NITESHIFT, there's a story I put up about how they're allowing textbooks now to be challenged.
Yes.
You understand? So, like, you don't want, you know, I don't want this, you know, we already know certain laws have passed where they don't want to have certain American history told in schools. So, you know, without getting into the whole culture of ignorance, and let's just use a somewhat neutral reference as to Clint Eastwood doing two sides of, the Iwo Jima, the films that he did, you know, the American side, the Japanese side, which is interesting because that's a fuller picture of history.
Amazing.
Okay, so that being said, having I Am Antigone being told from the female perspective, and I want you to finish on what you were going to say about Greek tragedies and your relationship and what they mean to you.
Well, the factor is this. Greek theater was an element of entertainment created from a tradition of telling a story. And it elevated itself to the amphitheater because it was important to have the comments about society in an atmosphere that was very classical. Because, see, even the Greeks have to admit that theater in its beginnings comes out of a spiritual relationship between God and man. And each culture creates that. So by the time it gets to the format where we are seeing it, has to be understood. There's a way to make it all work if you just understand each other. And we're not focusing on that. So we must focus on the opportunity to really find where peace exists and stop trying to fight war. Because if we continue to fight war, we'll fight war. War is inevitable as long as you keep seeking it.
I have to.
That's the only way life can be if we're going to make this world a better place.
You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI, and I'm speaking with critically acclaimed writer, award-winning actress, poet laureate, and director of the new play, I Am Antigone, along with the actress who's playing Antigone, Nicole Ansari. Nicole and Miriam, welcome to WBAI.
Hi.
Thank you.
So, Miriam, I'm going to start with you. Looking at your career, and it's funny because I kept looking at your name, and I said, you know, why do I know that name besides all this? And then I went and I looked. You were in Gothica, and I loved you. Or Gothic, and I loved you in Gothic. Just so you know. So.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, but my first question to you is: considering the work you've done, and besides wanting to know when do you sleep, when did you first know you wanted to be a storyteller?
Well, that storytelling, as you know, is in your blood, and I think it's in everyone's blood. I think we all love to tell and hear stories. And so I would say, you know, as long from the first story I ever heard, I wanted to tell stories as well. And I think that as you journey through life, opportunities present themselves. So for me, it started as an actor wanting to have my voice heard. And then eventually it wasn't enough. I wanted I didn't want to speak through other people. I wanted also to speak through my own voice. But then there are moments in life where messages come to you that are so important and have such import that you want to allow them to have their own voice. And such is the case with this play, I Am Antigone, which I was sent really recently, like a month and a half ago, saying, you know, is this something you'd like to do? And of course I had other things planned, but I read this and I basically dropped everything to come and do this because it speaks to us at such an important moment in our collective zeitgeist. And I just, and of all the stories I've had to tell, I've had the privilege to tell, this is probably one of the most important.
Well, I have to say, I agree. I mean, Antigone is a play that has a lot of subtext dealing with Metoikia and all kinds of things. But what was it about this adaptation of the original play, Sophocles, that really struck you? Because for those who aren't completely familiar, how would you describe what this play is actually about? Because it's a reversal in that it's told from her point of view.
Right. So the original story of Antigone is always told by a male perspective, either by the chorus or by Creon, depending on who the playwright is. And what's interesting is the story of Antigone is about, in face of the law, civil disobedience in terms of the law. And when is civil disobedience warranted? And is it ever warranted? And there comes a point where if the law becomes abusive, as a citizen, it's not a question of taking the law into your own hands as much as standing up to the law and speaking for what is right. And so what's interesting is the story has always been told, telling the story, but never really knowing why Antigone does it. And here Antigone is given a voice and she explains, and it's really magical, to be honest. We were rehearsing today, and I broke down in tears because it's just the way Chaudemini Secrets tells the story is just so powerful. And what it is, it's through the eyes of an adolescent, but it's also through the eyes of a woman who's gone through all of the wars, because we meet Antigone in her tomb 2,000 years later. So we meet her today, and she retells the story every night of how it happened. And so we see the world through her eyes, and it's really informative on so many levels, and kind of really exciting, and really, and I have to say, Nicole is mesmerizing in the part. And what's great is that she creates, she calls a chorus, and she determines who's going to play Creon, who's going to play Eteocles, who's going to play Polynices. These were her two brothers. And very quickly, the story is that she was the daughter of Oedipus, and Oedipus was at once her father and brother. And this gets discovered, so he's banished, and the kingdom is left to her two brothers, and they're supposed to share the powers. So Eteocles is supposed to do 1 year, and Polynices is supposed to do the next. But at the end of the first year, Eteocles doesn't want to give it up. He doesn't want to share power. So Polynices raises an army to come and march against his brother. And in doing so, they both die. So the uncle takes over, and the uncle decrees that one is going to be a hero and the other one is going to be a reprobate. And it's completely... you know, there's no reason, no rhyme or reason to why he chooses one as opposed to the other. And Antigone decides, and really this is the crux of the play as we do it, is Antigone decides to bury her brother, who's been, there's been a law passed that he's not allowed to be buried. And she decides that she is going to bury him against the law. And in doing so, brings the power Creon to his knees, and speaks out against the abuse of power.
Well, the law of man versus the law of the gods, as it were. Well, now let me ask you, Nicole, as Antigone, what was your, when you first got a hold of this piece and you first were met with the challenge of playing her, what were your thoughts about the piece, and what were you most excited about in playing her?
Oh, well, for me, Antigone always has been one of the roles that I wanted to play. And so when Miriam called me up and said, "Do you want to play Antigone?" the words weren't out of her mouth, and I was like, "Yes," because that has always been a heroine of mine, somebody who, you know, is a civil disobedient. Somebody who takes on the powers and said, "This is not right. This is not justice." In terms of why this is so important right now, is that, you know, our Creon has big likeness to actual living politicians that are in power right now in the United States of America, the land of freedom, and that we see a lot of unfinished burials in this country, especially in our Black community, where we see brother after brother being unjustly killed and not giving proper burial rights. In the sense of just on a personal note, a friend of mine, Bridge Feltz, is a wonderful singer. She lost her cousin, 33-year-old Michael Robinson. He was the father of three small children. He was arrested in August of 2015 for delinquent child support, which he actually had paid. But he'd been struggling to find work in the previous 2 years after a layoff, and he was a severe diabetic, and he needed constant glucose monitoring and injections. And when he was arrested, he was refused to be given his medication, and he died in jail, he died. I mean, it's just unbelievable this is happening in our country. And 2 years later, his family is still fighting for the judicial system to acknowledge the negligence of these officers, and criminal charges have not been filed against anyone. So we have actually the modern tale of Antigone is being retold every day here in this country and elsewhere in the world. So it's a very contemporary play in that sense, and the way that Chaudhamini Sigrist approaches it is constantly going between the Greek tragedy of 2,000 years plus back to today. So that's what was even more exciting than just the tragedy by Sophocles, was for me the actual political, sociological impact that it has today. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, as a person of color, this is, I am aware of and hear far too many stories like that, so I'm clearly with you. Let me ask you a question, Miriam. Considering, you know, what your work is and how much you're interested in empowering female narratives, this is a contextual question. I want to know, you know, as a writer as well, what are your thoughts on both the power of words and, more importantly, why do you think, since stories have been told since way before Greek times, what do you think the point of story is for human beings? Why do human beings need to tell stories? And maybe why are the best ones essentially timeless?
Wow, that is such a great question. It's really interesting because in a funny way, this play is the telling of a story. It really is the way it's written. She really tells the story of what happened to her. And we, you know, the actors on stage illustrate this story. And it has this real feeling of Shahrazad, you know, the count, the, I don't know how you say in English, but the one in a thousand nights, you know, of that Arabian princess who told the story.
Sure, Shahrazad, sure, of course.
That's it. So it has really that feel, and I think as we know, you know, the world started with oral history, and even today, it's the need we have to tell stories is profoundly anchored in us, and I think it has to do with recognizing the humanity in each other, because ultimately it doesn't matter where the story takes place, it doesn't matter if it happens in America, if it happens in Iran, if it happens, the humanity of stories is how we connect, and I think storytelling is about connecting. Is about saying, you know, I'm no different than you. And it's also about banishing fear. Because if you talk, if you communicate, you open a door. And if you open a door, you open the possibility of connection. And if you connect, if you truly connect, then there's room for peace, and there's room for hope, and there's room for understanding. And when fear speaks to us, that's when we build walls and we put up barriers, and then we can't tell stories because there are too many layers between us. But in truth, if we tell stories, then we join hands and we join hearts. And I think that's why we tell stories, because there is that need in ourselves to reach out and to connect.
Well, I couldn't agree with that answer more. But let me ask you about you specifically and in some of the work you've done. And, you know, you mentioned that you dropped everything to do this piece because of, you know, just like you said, how significant it is now. But looking at your career on a larger whole, you know, besides the obvious that you are a woman in, you know, in this industry and a storyteller and whatnot, what are some of the challenges or things that you hope to do with your work, and why do you think it's so important for us to have powerful female narratives that maybe even make us look at old stories in a new way?
Because I think that it's like Star Trek, right? Whoever holds the con holds the narrative and holds the story. And like, men have held the con forever. And the reality is a story can be told by many different angles. And you know, it's time for women to also hold the con, not to compete with men. It's not about that. It's not about, you know, I can do it better. It's about there's another way to look at this. And, you know, we as individuals, we have different ways, but narratives, history has always been told from the point of view of the man. And it's important now to revisit history from the point of view of the female as well. And it's to add to the canon. It's not to take away from anyone or anything. It's to enrich, because there's never, you know, it's never interesting to just have one layer. It's interesting to have two layers. You know, if you're cold at night, it's much cozier. So you have to be able to see any situation in life from far and from close and from every angle to truly be able to seize it and size it. And when you're missing a piece of the information, it means that you're impaired in your decision that comes from having made, you know, from whatever action you're going to take. So I think it's really important to, you know, balance out the scales.
Set up a couple of scenes here. I know that you know, we've been listening in the background here to a little of the chorus sounds, which you are in control of. You pull up, but set me up for a couple of the scenes that I have on tape here for the listeners to hear.
The whole play starts with a very big monologue, but it doesn't seem really like a monologue because the chorus is on stage the whole time. So there is always an interaction. I don't feel like I am just talking and it's my monologue. It's a dialogue where I primarily speak and the chorus responds, not necessarily with words.
I know what you're thinking. Not her again. We've heard enough out of her. The fact is, you've heard nothing from me at all. It's not Antigone again. It's me, Antigone, for the first time. What you've heard until now is somebody else's mouthpiece, gagging me with long-winded theories and lies. Daddy's girl. What if I am my father's daughter and his half-sister to boot? Leave my father out of this. Oedipus, you've had your way with him, making him into a spectacle to suit your obsessions. Don't forget, I know him better than any of you. I'm the one who led him by the arm over the stones to Athens. May he rest in peace. Peace. A nice word, isn't it? My country, women and men, peace is outlawed in exile. Creon turned the world into a war zone, haven't you heard? Enemies left, right and center, no one knows why, least of all Creon. He wanted to cut a figure. Wanted to leave a footprint, posing for the camera like a poster boy. He got what he wanted, all right. He's well remembered for his historical blunder. He left my brother, Polynices, unburied, and shut me up in this tomb, buried alive. Did he really think he could get away with it? We will come back to that. Burial, our recurring theme. There are many rotations of the earth. Many incarnations of the human corpus, the human carcass. Let's get started then. Antigone. I am Antigone. My name should bring to mind a family at its wit's end, a tragic heroine. The chorus insisted on a Greek drama, a showdown between human and divine will. As if anyone's life could be reduced to so common a denominator. Greek tragedy is what you'd like to think. Catharsis. In my case, I was framed. A frame job to flex the muscles of the state. Enter Creon, a textbook politician, propped up as a hero, out to win the hearts and minds of total strangers. A tortured soul. He was acquainted with torture, all right. An expert, you might say. No, there is no dying ember for tragedy here, no five-act play. It's just me and my monologue. I know it by heart, like a stain that won't wash out, indelible, night after night, a penance, an indulgence I'm called upon to repeat, to perpetuate, a bloodthirsty history written, as you might suppose, in red ink. The story you've come to hear, the story I will tell, is about burial. I am vain enough to imagine that you're familiar with the sequence of events, that the history of my homeland was required reading in your high school literature class. Oedipus, the king of Thebes, was fated by the Delphic oracle to murder his father and marry his mother. I am Antigone, the child of that transgression, a curse fulfilled down to the letter. When Oedipus discovered what happened, it was too late. He was tricked, cornered. He pierced his own eyes to appease the oracle and sent himself into exile. That is not all. My brothers were not left out of the picture. Polynices and Eteocles fated to kill each other in combat over the petty city of Thebes. Very convenient for my uncle Creon. He was designated regent and protector. He preened and waited for the moment of my brother's death, and then seized the throne. He declared Eteocles a hero, and gave him a proper burial, and left the body of Polynices, my beloved Polynices, the renegade, to rot in the sun. Is it surprising, given such a lineage, that I should be determined to exercise my independence, my free will? That, too, was scripted, you might say. The chorus would have you believe I'm turning the pages of a holy writ, but rest assured, I am the playwright. The choice to defy Creon was mine alone. He asked for it, to discard the body of Polynices. To leave him exposed, unburied, was a crime. All of Thebes knew that Creon was responsible for the desecration. Someone had to bury the body, and I was the person to perform the act, self-selected by default. I buried Polynices because, as his sister, it was my duty before the law. Even a child knows that. Creon wanted to make burial a crime. Ha! He would have made a mediocre lawyer. We will speak of him in the past tense.
Also, you sent the Ismene, the Odysseus sirens.
Oh, yes, yes, this beautiful scene between me and my sister Ismene, where we recall how Tiresias, the blind prophet, saved my life, where basically I go into, like, the ecstasy of drowning, and I happily actually would have drowned, me, Antigone, but he pulls me out and saves my life. And where go at the end, but why did you save me for this? So in that scene, we hear the sirens of Odysseus. They are calling to me.
I heard sirens. Like Odysseus. I could hear their song calling to me. Faintly, and then louder. It was me calling to you. Antigone! The rapids closed around me, and I was in the close embrace of a boiling froth, the fury of the river goddess gone mad. You were moving closer to the sound of the river's voice. I could feel my body approaching rapture, as certain
my shoulder.
Tell me where people can get tickets for the play.
Tickets for I Am Antigone are at www.smarttix.com or at www.dreamupfestival.org. So the Dream Up Festival side has all of the plays that are in the Festival of Theater for the New City. And we start September 8th and run until September 16th, except the 10th and 11th. So every day, some of the shows are 9 p.m., 8 p.m., 6:30, and one is even at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. On the 16th, we have two performances, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Yeah.
And I really encourage people to come because it's a... It's really so magical. Shodomini Secrets' words are, and it's really important to say that Shodomini worked for UNICEF for many, many years, and she was the head of international child protection. And so she worked with helping Boko, you know, the, not helping Boko Haram, but combating, and she's worked in areas of conflict all over the world. And so this piece is profoundly informed from by her personal experience. And she's a poet in her own right. And it's interesting because she's retired from UNICEF now because there's a very strong policy of UNICEF that you're not allowed to take a political stance when you're a member of UNICEF, and you know, and it's to allow international relations, and so you can't have opinions, political opinions, and so it's only because she retired that she was able to allow this piece to go on. And obviously we're doing it on a shoestring budget. We have no marketing. We have no money. So it's all going to be word of mouth. And every actor in this piece is so committed, not just for the message of it, but also for the art of it. Because it's a kind of one of those unique situations where art and life meet to illuminate each other. And so we're very blessed.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you both very much for making time to be here and for giving us two pairs of tickets for some lucky listeners.
Thank you so much, Mike. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, as I said before, we're giving away tickets, and it's all you have to do is write to WBAI Movie Tix, T-I-X, at gmail.com. I have two pairs to give away. You can go on the website to see the different times. I don't know if you can read that, Byron. It tells you the different times.
Well, this is for
I Am Antigone. I have two pairs to give away.
Nice.
The performance schedule for I Am Antigone is as follows. Friday, September 8th, 9 p.m.
Thank you.
Sunday, Saturday at 8 p.m. Tuesday, the 12th at 6:30. Wednesday, September 13th at 9 p.m. And then the 14th at 6:30 p.m. And then the 15th at 6:30, and that Saturday and Sunday also at 2 and 8 p.m. So that's the deal. You can go on to dreamupfestival.org. You can even call 212-254-1109 and buy your tickets. But if you want to be one of the two people, lucky people, who win a pair, you have to, again, now you have to do a little bit of legwork. You have to go on and figure out what screening, what performance you want to go to, and then email us. Okay, you ready? WBAI Movie Tix. It's not a movie this time, but you put in the heading, I Am Antigone. If you don't know how to spell Antigone, give it your best shot. But say you want it, and you know, stake your claim, and then figure out what show you want to go to. So, two pair. Byron Saunders.
Mike Sargent.
Byron Saunders.
Oh my goodness, man.
All right, so a couple questions here. Yes. If you remember, one of the themes that we've had here on the show that we've talked about is, besides life being like science fiction.
Yes, sir.
Or shall I say, within life being like science fiction, was the idea of chipping.
Yes.
We did a whole show, which we're going to play a flashback to with Chris Griffin and Andrea and Cousin Kathy. We talked about chipping. And at the time, it was just a topic for Night Shift. This is 12 years ago. Now, just read a little bit of that to us, Byron.
Okay. Why the computer company putting chip implants in employees? Oh, my goodness. This might be a little scary, people. Over the past week, news of a Wisconsin company. Now, this is up in Wisconsin. Three Square Market, 32M, offering to implant its employees with a what they call an RFID microchip.
Yes, RFID.
The size of a grain of rice.
There it is, Byron.
Wow.
There it is.
This has become...
It's reality.
Here it is. It's become
and
viral.
They're offering it.
They're offering it to the employees.
I see it coming.
The chip functions as an NFC, that's what they're calling it, powered multi-purpose key credit card identification tool that the company sees as the future. 32M, that's what you got to remember, might not be wrong about that. But this is not how our chipped future will or should happen. Now check this out.
Our chipped future.
Yeah, forefinger and thumb. This is where you think of where your thumb
that's
is.
That's where they put it?
That's where they're putting it.
Your thumb?
Yes.
All right, so right there.
Right
they put
there,
a little
and
chip
that
there.
Little chip there, right there.
Right, so you can still make a fist.
Yes, sir. So you can still make a fist, but it would be an ID code.
It's a good place
you
to
go
put.
Up and just scan your ID
it's right,
code.
Right between your fin.
Yes.
Right there. Yes.
And businesses, and they're suggesting government should do it for the same reason.
Listen to me. I think what they're eventually going to do, sex offenders, prisoners.
Well, they got that already. They're tagged.
Are they tagged?
Yes, sex offenders are tagged.
Are they tagged now?
Yes.
We predicted that back then in 2005.
But it's a different kind of tag.
All right, but it's
but still, they're
will
tagged.
Eventually be
it's involved. Probably the same
There'll
process.
There'll be a tag protocol for...
Well, yeah, but know, this for, takes it to another step forward.
Yes, it does. All right, well, you know, Byron... Okay, well, we're going to cut to now the some of that episode with Chris Griffin,
yes.
God rest his soul, and Andrea, who is now in Hawaii.
Okay.
Cousin Kathy.
Yes.
Chris on the phone. Chris is sort of taking a vacation from the show right now.
That's okay. We love Chris.
Yes, we do. We love Chris. Take a listen. Remember, this is 12 years ago. This is not how I am now.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
We'll think a little bit closer. Your program is so close to the truth.
Yes.
Why don't you call it science nonfiction?
Science nonfiction does not fall trippingly off the tongue.
It may not fall trippingly off the tongue, but it's more a fact than it is the other way.
Well, life is like science fiction.
Life is reality, no?
Life is science fiction.
Life is, to you, is science fiction. To me, it is non. Science fiction.
To you, it is not science fiction, Sarah. You are clearly firmly rooted in the present.
No.
All right, and here is where our file craps out, and here is where we take corrective action, and hopefully the program will play through to the end. It better, because I'm getting the hell out of here. This is WBAI New York. Gee, only an hour to clean up Mike's mess. I mean, it's Night Shift here on WBAI New York.
Okay, I think this is quite amazing.
Actually. All right, life isn't like science fiction.
Okay, now we're going to the stratosphere with an 82-year-old climber who breaks his own record.
82?
Yes, Paradise, Washington. William Painter, Painter's record as an oldest man to reach the top of Mount Rainier has been broken by William Painter.
Wow.
By making it to the 14,411-foot summit at age 82.
Damn.
A retired plutonium worker.
Retired
plutonium worker.
Whoa, Mr. He's like
from
Captain
from
Incredible.
Hanford Nuclear Reservation, right. Beat the mark he set more than a year earlier. Lost on the way down was his treasured old army hat laden with memorabilia that began collecting after it started climbing 7 years ago.
His hat blew off. Well, you know.
They'll find it. It's radioactive.
That makes some sense.
Stop. Damn. 82.
82 years old.
Climbed the top of Mount
I'd like to know what kept his heart together.
Well, you know what? I was talking to my physical therapist today, and he was saying that there's some statistic they had out now that if you make it past 75, that there's a good chance you could live to close to 100. Like, if you've lived that long and your body's still functioning, you haven't succumbed to all those things, you'll probably live a lot longer. Mm. And it's interesting, just as a slight aside, because the largest growing population in this country is senior citizens. We are living longer, and it's a whole program in itself, but the culture has not quite caught up to that fact yet. Putting it out there. So, what else about him? Anything else? Is he?
Nothing. That's.
Did he have any sponsors? That's pretty amazing.
Yes,
that is pretty
very
amazing.
Amazing.
Do you know in Connecticut they have a whole shortage of senior housing because
there it is
because
there's
so many.
It's grown
so quickly.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't know where to put these.
Connecticut is
people.
Not the only place.
Yeah.
You know. This is a great score, by the way. I'm going to be doing an interview with the composer next week. It's a score to this film I haven't seen yet, but I want to see called March of the Penguins.
Oh, I saw it.
Yes.
Was it great?
Oh, it was awesome.
The scores.
Seen it?
I want to see it too, but the score is so beautiful. Listen to it.
Why didn't you go see it when you said you were going
to
see it?
I didn't get to go.
Dissed Ilya.
No, she didn't want to go.
She
changed her mind as...
You know, I wouldn't.
Women are want to do.
I wouldn't say this was a child's movie.
Well, there
I
it
really,
is.
Really wouldn't.
No, but I've heard it's a very powerful. I tried to get
it's
Sue to go.
Movie.
Sue wouldn't go. Remember, cousin Sue was like, "Oh no, the babies
you tried
don't
to get
all
me
make
to
it."
Go, I wouldn't go.
See,
and I know it's supposed to
but
be.
But the score's good, isn't it? Good.
Yes,
it's very good. It's good.
Yep.
It's very. It's got some of that Reich-esque, Philip Glass-esque stuff in there, but it's much more melodic. So, Andre, you have a microchip story.
Yeah, because we just can't get off this subject.
That's right.
Hell no. Microchip saves rare Cambodian turtle.
See?
Good. All right. Hanoi, Vietnam. They're calling him the lucky royal turtle. He's an endangered reptile that was saved from a Chinese soup pot by keen-eyed wildlife officers in a tiny microchip.
Saved from a Chinese soup pot.
Yes. He was taken from a Cambodian river 2 months ago and toted across the Vietnamese border on a motorbike, along with a stash of other more common turtles. Conservatives say that at 15 kilograms, the animal was sure to have fetched a good price when it reached the smuggler's destination, food markets in China. Turtle meat is a delicacy in China and is often made into soup. But a raid on the smuggler's house in southern Vietnam saved the turtle, and wildlife officers were surprised to see how big he was, and later, the microchip in his wrinkly skin. The microchip pinpointed the turtle's exact home, where he is now being shipped back to. He was shipped back to Cambodia last week and is undergoing health checks before being released back into the wild. Experts say there are only about 2 to 8 females remaining there, making this adult male turtle's return even more vital.
2 to 8 remaining. They have eaten them down to that. Damn.
Extinct. Almost extinct. Whew, on
almost
the edge.
On the edge.
Of extinction.
Damn. My God, they saved it.
Well, I don't know. It might be some more in a different place, but... Hopefully.
You know, if it's down to 8 there, imagine what it is if there are any more. Like the albatross. We had a horrifying story last week, Chris, I'll tell you about. The albatross are being wiped out as well by mice.
By mice?
Giant super mice. Swear to you. Giant super mice.
<don't,
laughs> It's true. It's true. And
don't
they had
make
photos.
Me laugh.
I'll show you the photo. You want to see the giant super mice? And a photo of like the mouse sitting there with like blood in its mouth and like bones, a foot, and feathers. You know, I swear we did this. I swear to God, you think I'm lying? You saw it last week.
I read it.
See, all right. So,
it's some odd selection.
It's life is like science
That's
fiction
right.
is what it is.
They're being selected.
And, yeah, they've been selected. They've been selected. You have been selected. How? What was that in Toy Story? Remember? Oh, he's going into the light. What was that?
Right.
They pluck him out of
Yes.
That was funny. I'm sorry. You're tuned to Listen Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. Thank God the turtle's been saved. Microchips. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Hello.
Fuck this earth.
See? He's yelling out his fantasies. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, I got something really weird. I got here from a website. It's only two sentences. I'll read it to you.
It says here, I really don't know.
No, okay. It says here, Tuesday, January 4th, 2005. I like being sober, but I still get all the same emotions. I just don't have anything to numb the pain. Not even a good fuck. What did you mean by that?
Well,
we'll have
some
to
people
wonder.
Are home late at night.
Just have nothing better to do.
Nothing better to do.
Just want to hear their voices.
Profanity. I'll call the radio station. So, there it is. But you're listening to the beautiful score to March of the Penguins. There it is, the end of the score. What's the phone number here, Andrea?
212-209-2900.
Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, no, it's from this website. It's www.t...
Let's stop him there. 212-209-2900. Cousin Kathy, you have a story?
Yes, I do. Dentures removed from bronchial tube. August 1st, 2005.
Dentures removed from bronchial tube.
Right. Tapai, Taiwan. Mm. A Taiwanese man is breathing easier after surgeon removed a missing set of dentures from one of his bronchial tubes 3 years after he lost them in a fall.
A missing set of dentures.
Yes.
Like he swallowed his dentures. Right. And lived for 3 years.
And didn't know where they went.
Damn, he has no friends. Okay, go ahead.
Surgeon Chen Chun Li said the unidentified man visited his clinic several days ago complaining of a shortness of breath and high fever. The man had no idea the missing denture was the culprit, causing a mild case of pneumonia. Quote, he had looked for the missing dentures for 3 years, but they were nowhere to be found, Chen said. Chen operated after
where
an x-ray.
Where did Chen look?
Well, after an x-ray detected an unknown object in one of his bronchial tubes, which turned out to be the missing denture. Chen said the 45-year-old man did not suffer serious breathing problems earlier, possibly because the lower denture of 8 teeth had stuck in a part of the bronchial tube, but did not entirely block the passage of air.
That's insane.
The patient might have needed to have part of his lung removed if the denture was not located before it caused severe damage, Chen said Monday. He is a lucky man to find it when he did.
I'd say.
I inhaled my denture.
It's like, what kind of fall was that? Drunken? Like, how could you not know? It's like, I got my denture.
Drunken?
I tripped.
Drunken?
Where are my dentures? Where did they go? It's like, hello. How can you not feel
maybe
that
the shortness
pass through
of
your
breath?
Throat?
Maybe the shortness of breath for the past, like,
nothing,
few months.
Like, I don't get it. Hello, you're in the air. Drunkenness, exactly.
No, you ever check out this website?
You know, I've heard of the term, like, tongue-in-cheek, but never tongue-in-bronchial tube.
That's right. Or teeth in bronchial tube.
I don't know.
Tooth in lung. Yeah. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello?
Yes?
Speaking of dentures, fuck the niggers.
Man. See, that's the problem of being on.
It's not even a good transition. Like, how, you know, you're racist and you can't even make a transition. Hello,
witty.
You're here.
His witty. Argument has no teeth.
Mm-hmm. Well, in response to that guy, I wouldn't want to.
Wow. Why do these people. You ever wonder why these people, like, call, like, why, like, if you hate Negroes, why do you listen to them on the radio? What's up? Like, what are you doing? Is it like a martyr thing?
Perchance to utter stupid things. Like, perchance to utter stupid
like,
things.
Why? Why listen to the black people if you hate them?
Well, they admire us.
Why?
But they just admire
why not try
us
and live in that bubble and pretend they don't exist? That's what I would do. I'd be like, hey, in the bubble, no black people here. That's what I'd be doing, you know, if I hated them.
Yeah, but if there was no black people to hear that word for that guy, then there'd be nobody to get upset, and that's what he's feeding off of.
Oh,
you
we
know.
Should be getting
very
excited.
Good, Andrea.
Yes, aren't I
very
smart?
Good.
I'm so
insightful.
Smart.
Yes, there's a piston firing. Hello, you're in the air.
No, I don't hate him. I just responded to that guy.
Okay. Hello, you're in the air. Hello?
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 Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'm listening to your show. Hey, you notice how it's white people calling with that foolishness and they're calling us niggas?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the problem?
It would be bad if the black people calling us niggas, too.
No, but, you know, we're calling, talking about serious stuff, you know, with y'all, and they calling with that foolishness.
Well, you know, but trust me, there are all kinds of fools, not just the racist fools. They're pervert fools who want to take the critters off her, you know, whatever. And hello, you're in the air. Oh, shoot, I lost the sane person. Hello, you're in the air.
Hey, great show tonight.
Thank
you. Enjoying it very much.
Okay. Are you chip, pro-chip, anti-chip?
Gotta go against the chip.
Against the chip.
Why are all these people against the chip?
You know, because, I don't know.
Because it's exposure. It's exposure. You're giving up some vital, you know, issues or...
Civil rights.
...of your life.
Well, actually, thinking about it as I caught, I think I have a little more profound reason.
Oh, talk to me. What's your profound reason? I want to know. I have a Your Honor, I have a profound reason for not getting chipped.
Yes, I do.
I am
because
not guilty.
Because chaos always comes, and the more you tighten the order, the greater the chaos that comes.
Yeah, but that's why they have control.
But the control
Maxwell's smart. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah. 99?
Yes.
But the... I think it's actually kind of a conservative impulse not to go to that next level of chaos once you've established that next level of order.
Hmm. Well, sir, you're speaking and dealing in abstracts.
Dealing in abstracts.
You're dealing in abstracts, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. That's the profundity.
Yes. Never profundity.
Also, that Penguin movie?
The Penguin movie, yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine who would not want a kid to see it. It's pretty lightweight. Pablum.
What do you mean, Pablum? You know, there's real dramas going on in the lives of penguins.
Now, you got Morgan Freeman talking about, and it's not just a journey, it's also a story of love. I mean,
penguin love.
Lightweight, penguin love.
Penguin
it's
love.
A pretty lightweight family.
It's a song by Captain Tennille.
Sure. It's kind of like a Discovery Channel thing.
Well, there it is. That's beautiful. They should have movies like that. I mean, we got movies like Hustle and Flow, about a pimp and his hoes.
My only point is...
Oops, sorry about that. Hello, you on the air.
Yo, why are these white people calling us niggas?
Hello, you on the air. Hello, you on the air. See, if we had chipped him, we could know when he was calling. Hello, you on the air.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't even use that word. I'm not...
Thank you. Hello, you on the air. He's like, he's doing me a favor. I don't even use the word nigger. Nigger.
I'm pro-chip.
Yes, you're chip. You're pro-chip? Now, why are you pro-chip, ma'am?
Well, think about it, Alzheimer's patients, if they got lost, they
that's
could,
right.
could be found.
You could save the old people and the Alzheimer's.
That's right. I don't know what's going on tonight with everybody. I've never heard your show like this with all these nasty people.
You know, there's nastiness in the air.
Yeah, just,
you don't listen to the show.
No, I do. I do listen to the show.
I've heard nasty people every week. I listen to the show, and there's nasty people.
But it seems there's so much more tonight.
No, it's just a couple of people who keep getting cut off.
It's the same two
people.
They
keep trying to get back on.
Yeah.
They have no life.
They have no
As
life.
As it were.
Right.
Well, can I tell you what I did today?
Please.
I
got chipped.
I kind of have something like a chip inside of me.
I understand. A defibrillator?
Yes.
And I understand.
Pacemaker.
All right.
But I got a question. How can I find out what music y'all are playing? Like a list? Because I'm hearing some songs I'd like to hear again.
Oh.
You know, maybe by. Because I heard a song earlier. I think it was 808 State. It's a real old song. Like
oh, yeah.
90. Yeah, what was the name of that?
You see, now you're testing me.
That was a favorite when it was out. It's like 91, 92 that
yeah,
was out.
At least you knew it was 808 State.
What'd you say?
I said, at least you knew it was 808 State.
Well, I had the tape. It was a maxi single. It had like 6 or 7.
Ooh, maxi single. I remember that.
Song. Well, yeah, that was way
See,
back.
Mike, if you were chipped, you could just tell him
I
automatically,
could just tell him,
right?
I am, will transmit my information over to you. It's like, who needs a palm?
Pro-chip.
Just chip that information over
I'm
to me,
anti-chip.
Please.
Anti-chip.
Anti-chip.
Yeah. I'm like the other guy. I'd probably be dead, you know, when it's implemented.
See? You think it's not going to happen soon. You don't think
it'll
happen in your lifetime.
I'm like 40. It's not going to happen in the next 30, 40 years.
Are you out of your mind? It's not going to happen in the next 30, 40 years? Listen, 30, 40 years from now, they won't even call it a chip.
Maybe not on the
Okay, it won't even be a chip. It'll be something like a dot, like a drop that they can blow on you and you're they can track you. Are you kidding?
I mean, it won't be widespread.
Microscopic.
It'll be everybody. You know,
yes, it will. It'll happen at birth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, come on. You know that's what's going to happen.
And it won't be made of metal, so it can be detected by
somebody. Exactly. It won't be metal. It'll be organic. It'll be nanotechnology. Please, they'll know where you are all the time. Everybody's safe.
Who's all these people knowing where you are? What, these people sitting around just following you and wanting to know what
keeping
you do?
Your world safe.
Yeah.
For you.
I believe there will be agencies or
tracking agencies.
Yeah, that people hire saying, I want my wife and my children tracked 24/7.
That's 24/7. That's right. Just like LoJack.
It'll be another device.
Come on. They'll put it in you. You don't have to activate it. You got a chip. You didn't activate your chip. Okay.
Well, we'll create jobs then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that it would. That it would.
The people got to watch the chips. Chip watchers.
Watch your chip.
Chip watcher.
Chip builders.
Chip builders. That's right. Who gets that contract? DuPont. Hello.
You like the show? Everybody go see the Penguin movie.
Thank you. Hello. Who else is here? Oh, okay. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Yes.
Yeah. There was a Danish conceptual artist who did a chip project.
Mm.
He invented a gun that hasn't been invented yet that shoots a chip into a person.
Mm.
So that they can be tracked and take the picture of them. And he went to an arms show in China and pretended that it was real.
Mm.
And had a very enthusiastic response.
Of course he did. What are you kidding? Of course he did. People are like, shoot chip into body. Right? Yeah, how much?
The
how many?
Chinese probably want to buy it from him. Are you kidding? Stop. They were like, yes.
People from all over the world were like, yes. Great. And his point, he's kind of a conceptual hacker, so he tries to think of the worst invention there could be and act like it exists.
That's art. That's art there, babe.
Have him on the show, Mike.
I'd have him on the show. I had the flying rods guy on. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you?
All right. Who's this?
This is Andrea.
Andrea. Are you pro chip or anti chip?
No. Well, I'm con.
Mm-hmm. But you're middle of the road.
No. I'm completely against.
You're against the chip.
Yes.
Why? It could save your Alzheimer aunt's life.
No. But listen, what? I have to tell you the story.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Andrea.
Yes.
Meet Andrea.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay.
No, it's really ironic you're telling this because this guy once asked me out on our first date. He tells me that the Queen of England had these guys break into his room and implant this chip in his head.
He's on a first date? Hey, did he know that you were on BAI? The question is, did you meet him off air?
I met him off air.
See, he was a BAI listener. Never date a BAI listener.
No.
They're crazy.
No. He was
I dated
a BAI
one.
Listener, but okay. It was this, and the thing is that he expected me to sort of just go, like, be understanding.
You're like, I'll pass the salt.
Why would you tell me this the very first time we go out? And
well,
like going
he did you a favor, Audrey. Did you a favor.
I sort of made sure that he lost my number.
Mm-hmm. You gave him a fake number. Yes, I live 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Well, actually, he was British.
Oh, God. And the Queen of England, she put a chip in my head. They broke into my apartment.
See, but if it was true, then she could simply track him with
his
chip.
And they put a bloody chip on my head.
He was a very sweet guy.
Of course he was sweet.
It was Arthur Cheecher.
He wasn't sweet. He was strange.
A little fish and chip.
Stop! Have a meal while you get chipped. Arthur Cheecher's fish and chip. Come on.
Fish and chip.
Come on down. Have some fish while you get chipped. Arthur Cheecher's fish and chip. We're chipping now. thank you. So, Andrea, when is your show on?
Friday night.
What time?
10:00.
10:00.
Yeah.
She's the sister from another planet.
It figures that I would attract a guy like that, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't say nothing. Because I've had women send me shoes in the mail.
Ew.
With letters of like, here's what I'd like you to do in the shoe. I was like,
ew.
Drop. Hello, you're on the air. I know, it's true.
Ever
hello.
Check out this website called PrincessDrea.com?
Oh, PrincessDrea. Uh-oh, one of your fans. There it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
I think it's, you know, pertinent to all this, you know, there's a quote from Benjamin Franklin that, you know, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty or safety.
Mm, good, think, good. Like that.
I think it's very, you know, relevant to it. And have you ever thought of, you know, investing in a, like a 7-second delay, you know, for
it's broken.
It's broken, babe.
Oh, it's broken. Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's right. Oh, we lost Andrea. Hello, you're on the air.
Mike is a very serious subject.
Yes, it is.
I know.
Monroe?
Yes.
Are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
To chip or not to chip. That
to chip or not to chip.
Anyway, Mike, it's a very interesting question. I'm just wondering, supposing you were a sex offender and they put a bracelet on you.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? I mean, you know, it's like we're warned.
Let me tell you what happens. Here's what happens. Here's what happens. If you're chipped, okay,
yeah,
and you're a sex offender, okay, yeah, yeah, the local police station will be alerted that you've entered into a sector where you are not supposed to be. There are certain sectors, as a sex offender, child sex offender, you are not allowed to go, like near schools, playgrounds, things like that. You come within a 1-mile radius, something goes off, the cops are called, they pick your ass up.
Okay, there it is, babe. Say. I mean, you're making it sound, a lot of fun.
I'm just putting it out
I'm
there.
A little frightened up because I'm thinking, you know, you go to school to learn how to chip, you know.
And, you don't have to go to school to learn how to chip. You just get chipped. Everybody in school is chipped.
And who are
you're
the
chipped.
Well, who are the people?
You can't play hooky anymore. You're chipped. They know.
Who are the people that are going to...
Parents! Okay, chip their children!
No, Mike, check this out. How about this? How about all sex offenders have chip receivers, which will tell them who they've been near. Now, if you go near a child... Mm. Your chip receiver
picks
up.
They can't even be near. You can't let them get that close.
It says 10-year-old child, blah, blah, blah. Alarms go off.
Well, what alarms? Like, don't touch that child. I mean, like, what kind of alarm is going to go off?
Well,
it's got to be something.
Happens.
It's got to be debilitating. Now, they're just going to track you and arrest you.
That's right.
They're going to track you and arrest you. Too much manpower. Too much. I mean, again, if they implant it in the right place, I'm sure they could just zappo. It's like you're paralyzed. Let's hope you're not driving, because then it'll cause an accident. Hello, you're in the air.
Good evening, how are you?
Yes, good evening, how are you?
I think you guys have not taken this particular idea to heart. The fact
we haven't taken it to heart?
He's pro-chip.
Are you pro-chip?
Let me just finish, and I'll let you know.
Ooh, you got to be pro-chip, or else all you right. would have not prefaced it. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Mike.
I'm pro-chip.
The thing is this, what if these offenders, as you call them, hack into the chip?
What if the offender, sex offenders, like a cyber sex offender?
And can evade, you know, the chips, you know, surveillance technology.
Well, I mean, you know, any technology that's invented, somebody's going to find a way to beat it.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. That's my point.
That's part of our culture, yeah. So
what's
your point?
What's the point of chipping?
Well, then, you know, sir, that's like saying, what's the point of having a credit card if somebody could break it and, you know, figure out your credit card? Somebody could.
Well, I mean,
there's a risk. There is a risk that it might not work.
Yeah,
there's always that risk.
Yeah, but you see,
the safety could break.
Yeah, I understand, but you see, a sex offender carries more weight than a credit card.
Yeah, but sex offenders aren't chipped now, and they go out and they attack and
they're
kill children. Okay, what about women who have some crazed boyfriend that they have an order of protection, and the boyfriend still comes and kills them and their child?
Exactly.
I'm saying if they chip these people, they get within a 2-mile radius of the person that they've got it against. Boom.
Well, if they're
cop car comes up. And they know exactly where you are because they got a little chip watch little chip tracker.
That's what I was saying about the chip receptor.
Well, it's got to be certain areas. There's always going to be, you know, children walking around. But, I mean, that's the point. I agree with you.
It's going to be hackable. And anyway, in terms of where I stand, I'll tell you, I'm pro-chip, and I'm going to tell you why.
Talk to me.
Because we are headed already, I mean, we're already slaves in this society. We're headed to full, we're heading to a particular type of sophisticated slavery that's going to be much more...
Sophisticated slavery.
...apparent than in our own world presently. So I think that, you know, look, things are going to get better after they get worse. That's what I believe.
That's what they said about the 7 line.
About the what?
The number 7. They said, first you'll be mad, then you'll be glad. You remember?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I just feel that America deserves slavery. I really do. I hate this
America
country.
Deserves slavery.
Yeah, I really hate this country.
That's a T-shirt.
I hate this form of government. And I think that, you know, this country should just go bust. That's all.
Well, I can see you're pro-American.
Strong opinion.
Hello, you're in the air.
White power.
Yes. Thank you. Hello, you're in the air. Yes. Hello. Hello.
She's being chipped.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Okay. Do you remember the show Max Headroom?
Yes.
Is it possible for people to be blanks? Like, do you have to take the chip?
Well, I think what will happen is not so much that you have to take the chip. I think you'll be very encouraged to take the chip. And I think the part of the way they'll encourage you to take the chip is the same thing. It's like, try and exist in this society without a credit card or a driver's license. Okay, now you don't have to get a driver's license. You don't have to get a credit card. But if you have neither of those two things, you're almost ostracized. There are so many things you're locked out from being able to do.
You can get a non-driver's ID.
You have to get some kind of ID. Yeah. That's my point. My point is a chip will be just like ID. It'll become a government-issued ID. Now, you can refuse to get that, but you're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to have problems. If you don't have a driver's license or a non-driver ID, you're going to have problems. You're just going to have problems. You can't do things. You can't cash checks. Da, 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 da. It's like you come into the bank and they scan you and they can't scan you. It's like, who are you? Get out. They don't let you in. Then what are you going to do? Where are you going to put your money? You know, they don't have to. Like, that's right. They don't have to make you do it. You'll be encouraged to do it by.
Then you'll go through the retinal and fingerprint scan. That's
well,
all.
Or something like that.
What
something
about,
inconvenient.
Do you think there'll be like enclaves of people? Like,
of course.
You know, people
of course. Of course. Of course. Definitely. There always will be. That's
but
just
I think
society.
There'll be a market for the unchipped.
Yes. People so, will. I think people will have fake chips, dummy chips, all kinds of
but
things
no, but
like
I'm
that.
Saying there'll be a market for the unchipped. Neither, they will still have access to those things.
Yeah, but it'll be like an underground network. Because
no, I don't think so. I don't think so, because I think it'll be so strongly divided.
It'll take a generation. If chips came in tomorrow, over the next 5 years, most people would get chipped. Now, 10 years after that, all the people who weren't willing to get chipped eventually will have to get chipped for something. I mean,
no,
how long are you going to fight it?
What will happen is that we're going to have a revolutionary war like what happened before. Because
yes. Hello, you're in the air.
War.
Yeah, well, you know, there it is, you know. Revolutionary war like we had before. North and South will split. Hello, you're in the air.
White Tower.
Thank you. Ma'am?
All right, I'm done.
All right, wait. Question for you. Are
yes.
you pro-chip or anti-chip?
I'm very anti-chip.
Very anti-chip. And what's your name?
Yvette.
Yvette, have you ever listened to the show before?
Nope.
Nope? What do you think?
Actually, I was there in the studio earlier.
Oh, you... Is this... Who is
yes.
this? Yes. Avi? Who is this?
Evie.
Evie! How are you?
Yes.
So, why are you anti-chip?
It's just... I just don't like the whole... I'm just politically bent towards, like self-determination. Yeah.
Hey, no more rides to the train station for you, babe, okay? No, I'm pro-chip, okay? I say grab Evie and chip her right now.
Chip her now.
Chip her now.
Hold her down. Chip her.
I don't have trust in governments and large bodies of governing people. They go wrong with religion. They go wrong with politics. Things go wrong in family groups.
Well, you see, the problem is not so much the chipping, in my opinion. That's not the problem. The problem comes in like anything. It's like you could say guns aren't the problem, people are the problem. Well, the problem is, again, human nature. Human nature, you know, where there's power, there's corruption. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the people who are in the position of power, just like they have in you read about in China, where people, they just decide, hey, you're guilty. That's it. Boom. You go, you know, because someone high up said you were suspicious, you go down. Now, who knows? Maybe your uncle did something. Maybe you did something that, you know, you did. Who knows what you did? But somebody decided you're guilty and you may be in jail for the rest of your life, and you just don't have the civil rights to stop it. The problem is that if people got chipped, there are people who are corrupt. And that power that they would have over us, it's just like a gun. You could have a gun for protection, and it's there, and it's in your, and never use it. Or you could have that gun and that power to kill, and go out and use it and kill people. That's just the deal.
I understand that philosophy. I just feel in terms of, like, we live in what I feel is a very corrupted government in our society. And so
the way we're going now, I
just think the chip is just, we just hanging ourselves.
I agree with you.
I agree with you completely. It's very flawed.
They're so afraid of everything that they're just going to continue. Oh, this sounds fine.
Exactly. It's like the people volunteering their bags to be searched. What is that? How are you safer now? Hey, they search my bag. I feel safe. It doesn't even compute. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Evie.
All right. Well, I just had to say my piece.
I appreciate that.
I'm with you, Anti-Chip, all the way.
Anti-Chip forever.
It's like all these people who say, oh, all these hidden cameras are all over the city. I'm sorry, I feel safer with a camera on the street where you can, if something happens to me.
Well, what about when you commit a crime?
Hey, I'm not committing any crime, babe.
Hello, okay? You're on the air.
Well, you wouldn't have all this if you didn't have such open borders.
Thank you. The blustering American. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm anti-chip.
You're anti-chip?
Definitely.
Talk to me, why?
Because it's the New World Order and they're going to be used totally against us for control. Mm. That's what it's about. Mm. All about control. Once they have control, they have everything. Mm. It's the New World Order, brothers. This is it.
Mm.
It's not going to be used just for that. I mean, I understand.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. That's the concept. That's where we're coming from.
Just like the Social Security number, right? Mm. Same thing. Mm. They use that for everything now. It's supposed to be the Privacy Act 1974. They use it for everything now.
That's right. And they got it.
We are in trouble.
You apply for the credit card.
I don't know. I think it's too flawed, and there's too much that can go wrong, and there'd be a lot of fraud in the chipping system. That's why they might not do it.
I disagree. Okay. Because let's face it, you're going to tell me that our voting system in this country is not flawed and easily tampered with? It is. And if they go to computers, it's even easier to tamper with. So what do? Stop voting? They can't. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, William Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, talks about the New World.
Thank you. Hello, you're in the air.
Yes. That chip is being pro-nigger.
All right.
Do you think Arnold is anti-chip?
Well, we're getting him. He's coming on board. At least he's talking to Chip.
Hello.
Leave China alone. Leave China out of this. Kathy Davis is promoting Falun Gong now. Along with the Moonies and their bogus newspaper, the Epoch Times.
The Moonies.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, I haven't heard about them in a long time, sir. Yeah, well, how old are you?
Excuse me?
How old are you?
I'm 49.
49, you remember the Moonies, huh?
Yeah, well, they're busy right now with this Epoch Times newspaper and the Falun Gong and Kathy Davis, the public affairs director. Mm.
Falun Gong and Kathy Davis.
Taking shots at China along with Bush, George W. Bush, taking shots at China.
So are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
No, you brought this up. You brought it up, so you know.
I'm just talking about civil rights in China and equating it to corruption and power. I could pick any country where there's power and there's corruption. I just picked China.
I could call up and say defend the People's Republic of China against U.S. imperialism.
I agree with you, sir. Now, are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
No, you said that higher-ups in China can arbitrarily...
Yes, they can, and they do.
Well, you got to be concrete with this stuff, man.
You want me to get an article for you or something?
Right now, they're panicking over the fact that Chinese...
Who's panicking?
The people that run the United States. They're trying to create an anti-Chinese hysteria.
Anti-Chinese hysteria.
That's right. That's right. And you hear it on BAI. And BAI pretends to be something different.
Sir.
And then they ask for money.
Sir.
You ask for money. We can get it for free from WABC, the anti-China stuff.
Sir.
We can get it for free.
See, sir.
Well, I'll pay for it.
And
then pretend you're like independent.
Well, there's no such thing as free radio, really, because you have to buy batteries or electricity. But I have a question for you.
We beg at intervals. WBAI.
I say chip him and move him to China.
Exactly. All right. Hello, you're in the air. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I was going to say the guy with the using that word.
Who is that guy who keeps trying to explain himself?
That's exactly the way to put it. Hello, you're in the air.
First, you got to issue the chips and niggers.
Mm-hmm. I think you just like saying the word. Niggers!
That was
niggers!
What I was
niggers!
Thinking.
It lost its power
after like the 54
years ago. Yeah,
that's true. Hello, you're in the air.
No, I'm not explaining myself. I don't use that word. I don't know why you're getting me mixed up with that guy I called before.
Hello, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yes. Are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
I'm basically anti-chip.
And why are you anti-chip?
Because I think that if we were to chip everyone, people would think just like you.
Why, you think I'd be running the chip implantation?
I think you'd be running the chip government.
The chip government. I like it, sir. I like it.
And I also think that instead of putting chips in sex offenders, they should chip their private parts.
Mm. Who they? Who, the chip runners?
The government, which would be you.
Me. So I should get a chip in my private part.
Yeah.
What, do I seem to be promoting chips?
I think you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just putting the concept out there. I want to know your feeling.
Well, I think that considering that you have a tendency for science fiction that you want to see that deep down inside.
Ah, but you're assuming, sir.
No, I'm not assuming. I think I'm correct about this.
You're not assuming. You think you're correct.
You're
the ignorance of certainty.
You're itching for that type of society.
I am itching for that type of society. I want to see everyone chipped by the year 2005. Oops,
I'm running. I'm chipped.
Thank you.
I want to see you chipped so that.
So what?
You run around like a robot.
I will run around like a robot.
You know, I thought it'd be funny if they gave Andrea a chip. Can you imagine that? I mean, they could always tell when the guy's going down on her.
Hello, you're in the air. See what I mean? They're all kinds of assholes. I mean, hello, you're in the air. Yes.
Yeah, hey, guys. I love your show.
Thank you. You sound like you might be sane.
What's that?
You might be sane.
Yeah, well, for like your show, I can't be too sane, can I?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, really, but you know, I'm anti-chip.
Now, why are you anti-chip?
I don't see the reason for it. I mean, come on. Okay, if you chip,
what about saving lives?
Saving lives?
Yes, the children, the old people, the Alzheimer's, the criminals.
Everybody's got to go sometime.
Your family. If your family's chipped, you all stay in contact. Everybody's got a little chip thing. Hey, hello, honey.
Now you're gonna start. Now you're gonna start chipping my Doberman. You're gonna.
That's right.
Gonna
you chip your dog goldfish. Too. That's right. Yes. You're
chip my iguana.
Nah, goldfish. You don't have to chip the goldfish because they're gonna die anyway.
People love goldfish. What are you gonna do? I mean, come on.
All right. Man. Well, you can get your goldfish chipped if you want to.
See, there you go.
Spend the money.
See. There you go. You haven't saved anything. All these cameras on the show.
Oh, there's certain crimes you can stop. Forget the cameras. I'm talking about the chipping.
The five bombers in London, sweetheart.
That's right. If they ever chipped in London.
All caught on camera.
Are they?
All caught on camera. All caught. All caught.
Are they all caught?
Wrong guys. Wrong guys. Guys look like them. Wrong guys.
Guys that look like them.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrong guys.
Conspiracy. It's BAL. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Here's my question.
Yes, sir.
What do you call the person you need to seek if you're having spiritual chip problems?
Spiritual chip problems. Define a spiritual chip problem.
The angst. You have this chip. You don't know how to live peacefully anymore because you don't feel guided by your own instincts.
You go see the chip doctor.
Chipmunk.
Ooh, the chipmunk. Oh, very good. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes?
You forgot one important thing.
Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Niggers.
Oh, this is a woman saying this now.
I love niggers.
Oh, you love us.
Oh, that's a man. That's a man.
Every nigger.
There's no way that a woman sounds like that. That's a man. I know.
I'm a woman who loves niggers.
That's a transvestite over there.
You think so?
Yeah.
Can
you tell?
A transvestite nigger, in fact. Yes.
A nigger lover. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
You calling me what?
I said, are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
What I wanted to say was this.
People who don't
Somebody
answer a question.
Somebody called up anonymously who knows I have a handgun collection.
A what collection?
A handgun collection.
Someone called up said that they know you have a handgun collection. Hello,
I
you're in the air.
That somehow.
Yeah, I was going to tell a guy, the rap guys, they use that word more than he does.
Great.
Well, that's very good. Very insightful.
Yeah, but it's AS instead of ERS.
I don't quite understand that, Andrea.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, the way that
niggas.
Yeah. Niggas, that's right. My niggas. Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, hello, Mike, I think we do have an alternative to
the chipping?
We still have GPS. You can have a more advanced version.
It's still that's what chipping is, GPS.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, you know, something that's not actually implanted, you know, and using,
I bet you there's some people that wouldn't want the implant. They'll just put it on when they want, right?
Yes.
But then it gets pulled off, then what's the point?
But I think so many people would be definitely opposed to it.
I think at first.
At first.
I think at first. There's I think no, like anything, let me no just tell you something. Let's put your mind back. How many years ago, let's say 10 years ago, let's say before the Gulf War, could you have pictured America at war? Really? And did you really know anybody that said, oh, like, yeah, we'll be at war? It just really kind of didn't seem like we'd ever really be at war again. But you know what? Slowly but surely, as time went on, it became, well, what's a good reason to be at war? And after we were at war, the question became not that we're at war, how shocking, but is this a good reason to be at war? What are people saying now? They're saying there's not a good reason to be at war. There's no weapons of mass destruction. Why are we at war? People are not talking about just the absurdity of even going to war to try and solve anything. That's not what's happening. So I'm just saying that eventually, whether it's to protect your children, protect your family, to protect the old, to protect you against criminals, whatever it is, I think eventually they'll tap into something that will make you consider, there are some benefits. Maybe I'm afraid of the downside, but there are benefits to chipping. I think anybody can argue that there's some benefits to chipping. Now, I'm completely playing devil's advocate
here. If people get their animals chipped,
that's right. People get their animals chipped.
In case they lose their animals.
That's right.
You better believe somebody's going to say, chip my baby.
Hey, people chip their cars.
No.
You chip your car.
Not their child.
You're telling me your car is more valuable than your child?
But your baby is the most.
Hold on a second. You're going to tell me you chip. Would you chip your car? Would you get the low jack for your car? Would you get low jack? Doesn't it make sense?
Yes, I would.
All right, so it makes sense. Someone, so why wouldn't you low-jack your child?
Still
why is it different?
Child.
We're not giving away
anything. Because you're putting it,
he's
because
a
you're
child.
Putting,
he doesn't have
putting
any
a child in jeopardy.
What jeopardy?
The same jeopardy that you would be in.
What jeopardy is your child in if
okay,
he gets
check
a being
check this out. Check
which
this out.
Is exposure.
Chip the child.
To what?
Chip the child. When the child's 18.
Your life.
Exposure. He can remove the chip. There it is. He has the option.
Take the chip out.
There it is. There it is. Take it out at 18. I'd have to be responsible for you. Andrea?
What?
Would you chip your children?
Oh, God.
Would you chip your cat?
Come on, this is a very difficult question.
Would you chip your car? Would you low-jack your car? If you had a car, would you get low-jacked so that if it ever got stolen, you could find it right away?
Yeah.
You have 30 seconds. There it is. See?
I would chip my child.
But why
in a
would
minute.
You? You would chip your child in a minute.
In a minute.
Now, I know you would. You're
no
pro,
way.
You're pro chip.
I'm pro chip. I'm sorry.
You're pro chip.
Makes sense to me. Chip.
No.
Chip.
They're gonna put you on the platform.
Sex
there.
Offenders.
I'd sooner put a sensor.
Chip children.
I'd sooner put.
What's
a
the difference?
Sensor.
A sensor. A chip. It's
no,
the same thing.
It's, no, it's not.
A
the chip
sensor.
Is implanted. A chip is
well,
yeah, with you.
That was interesting. Hello, you're there.
Is it true that when you have these chips, they could also tell when you have an orgasm?
I don't know about that, but they can tell whether you know all your bodily functions are working correctly. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello, the anti-chip, man.
Anti-chip, talk to me, sir.
Well, it's...
you go toe-to-toe with Cousin Kathy.
It's invading the sanctity of your body. And if people were supposed to have numbers...
A rapist will invade the sanctity of your body, huh? Mm. Okay, a child rapist will invade the sanctity of your child's
well,
body.
That's what a 44 Magnum's for.
Mm. I hear you, sir.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't want to... He'll
guns,
put a bullet
no chips.
In you, but not
guns,
chip.
No chips. I'm
oh,
with
yeah.
You.
Yeah, but that doesn't work because that Seymour Duncan guy down there, they had him on a computer.
Hello, you're in the air. Andre, you have a Life is Like Science Addiction story for me?
Yeah, which one do you want to hear?
Well... Whichever one you feel is best.
Reread the chip one. It's pertinent.
Okay. I don't know how this is. Can you turn me up a little? I can't hear myself.
Hello.
You're up. Turn up your headphones.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know how this is like. Life is like science fiction, but.
Talk to me.
Like. Vienna Gallery admits visitors to see erotic art for free if they disrobe.
That's Life is Like Science Fiction.
How
going to the museum
that?
Naked.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Vienna, Austria. Vienna's prestigious Leopold Museum is usually a pretty buttoned-down place. But on Friday, some of the nudes in its marble gallery were for real. Scores of naked or scantily clad people wandered the museum, lured by an offer of free entry to The Naked Truth, an exhibition of early 1900s erotic art, if they showed up wearing just a swimsuit or nothing at all. With a midsummer heat wave sweeping much of Europe, pushing temperatures into the mid-30s in Vienna, the normally staid museum decided that making the most of its cool climate-controlled space would be just the ticket to spur interest in the show.
Get naked, come in the air conditioning, and look at some nudes. You know, that's art. Why not?
I love it.
Why not? That's life is like science fiction. Come on, it's never been done. Art, nakedness, science fiction.
Well, actually, it has been done.
When did you see art naked?
Not in a museum.
Oh, all right. Well, there it is. Yes, depends. But it's not art, Chris. It's called porno movies. No, I'm kidding. So would you go, Andrea?
Yeah, I guess so.
Of course you would. Would you go? The question is, would you go naked or would you wear the bikini?
I'd wear a thong.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Vienna. Chris, and would you go, Chris?
Would I go naked?
Would you go naked or with the thong?
I wouldn't go naked. I have
with some speedos.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that. No, no nakedness for me. Why? Not manly enough. Real men don't get naked. Why? What about you, Cousin Kathy? You'd go?
In a minute.
Would you wear the thong or would you go naked?
No, I'd wear a bathing suit. They said you could wear a bathing suit.
Okay, so you sure. Go. Okay, all right. Chris, would you wear the bathing suit? How about bike shorts? Speedos?
To become a part of
dental
art,
floss.
Be a piece of art?
Well, you're a piece of art, viewing art.
Mm. No, I still wouldn't go.
You still wouldn't go. No. Andrea?
What?
Don't go with Chris.
Okay.
You won't get in.
Because I won't get in.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing? How you doing?
I tried to call on a moment ago. I contribute a lot of money to your station. And there was somebody who just knew I had a gun collection and used my name to rob a store. And said they stole a gun from me. And that's stupid to begin with. Because I have so many guns, I can't keep track of them all.
Sir?
Yes?
Better to have a point to your story, so it's better for the listener.
The point is, he went into a stationery store, pointed the gun in somebody's forehead, and asked them for the money in the register.
And see, if he was chipped, then you'd know who it was, right?
That's true. But, sir, what's the point, though? I'm missing the point.
The point is...
I'm missing the point there.
He missed by a foot at point-blank range, and now he's in a lot of trouble.
Are you getting the point?
No, there's no point to this.
There's no point.
Go to bed, sir.
Go to bed. Hello, you're there. Have some milk. What's the phone number here? Chris, do you know?
No, I've never known the phone number.
You've never known the phone number. Andrea, can you help him?
212-209-2900.
I got to store that in the memory bank.
Actually, I have more respect for Vienna, Austria than what Askarov does when he has a nipple on a statue. I mean, America.
Thank you. Hello, you're on the air.
Niggas like Mike should be chipped.
Oh, my God.
I totally agree.
Shut up! Hello, you're on the air.
I will speak very fast now.
Chip him.
Get that thought in.
Gotta chip him. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I'd like to stick my big black dick in your mouth.
Okay. Oh,
you wish it was black, baby. Come on now.
Exactly.
Be honest.
212-209-2900. Call now. Block the freaks. You tuned to listen sponsored radio WBAI. We've been talking about microchips. 82-year-old men climbing Mount Rainier.
Setting records all over.
Setting records. And I have a story. I'll just read the headline. Smelly fungus sparks police hunt. Cousin Kathy, you have a story?
Yes, I do. Woman convicted of groping screener.
Mm.
July 27th, 2005, Green Bay, Wisconsin. A woman who was upset over being searched bodily at an airport was convicted Tuesday of assaulting a security screener by grabbing the federal officer's breasts.
Mm. She's like, how you like it?
Yes. Hey, pretty much what she said.
Pretty much.
A federal jury heard the case against a retired teacher, Phyllis Denton Fass, who allegedly shoved the screener during a search at the Outagamie County Regional Airport in Appleton in September 2004.
Outagamie.
Yeah, hey, all right. There's a lot of weird names in this story. Denton Fass, need I say more?
Denton Fass.
62, faces up to a year in federal prison and a $100,000 fine.
That's ridiculous.
The judge set sentencing for November 1st. On Monday, Transportation Security Administration screening supervisor Anita Gottesha testified that Denton Fass activated metal detectors at a checkpoint.
Denton Fass activate! No, okay.
Denton Fass sounds like a Jules Verne character.
Yeah, it does.
And she heard Denton Fass say she thought the problem was bobby pins and barrettes in her hair. It was her chip, actually. Denton Fass said she was using the back of her hands to search underneath Denton Fass' breasts when the woman lashed out at her.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Sorry.
Okay, Mike, see, if she was chipped, all she had to do was go through the thing.
Go through the thing, and they'd know.
They'd know.
They'd know.
They'd know if she was carrying or not. Mm. Okay?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
It's Evie again.
Evie.
Yeah.
What do you think about all these freaks
she's
going
now pro-chip.
She's now pro-chip.
I'm amazed, especially by the one guy that keeps calling back.
I know. Well, he's persistent. He's fixated. But think about this. He's late at night. He's home alone.
And always will be home alone.
He's probably home alone a lot.
But he also knows the 7-second delay is broken.
I tuned in kind of late because, you know, I was coming home and stuff. But okay. I'm wondering, did anybody talk, like, is there like a health risk to having chips?
No, it would be no health risk.
Now, why would there be no health?
They chip your cats and dogs now, baby, okay? At the animal shelters, you can't adopt an animal without it being chipped. Okay?
Yes.
How come I don't know these things?
Because you are not keeping up with the latest in chip news.
Well, I just find it very circumspect because, I mean, every time we, like, you know, do something new, there's, you know, find out 10, 15 years later that it causes some sort of, like, health problems.
You mean like cell phones? Mm.
Like cell phones, like which I'm talking on one right now.
Ooh,
you know?
See,
like,
there it is. You're going to have that tumor.
Well, I can't find my earpiece. That's the problem. Anyway, just saying, you know.
But that's a good, point right there about that maybe, you know. Maybe
there will be health risks.
There would be.
That we cannot speculate on because
first of all,
it's not in our concept.
Because first of all, if you're going to do it the old-fashioned way with like a little silicone, like computer, you know, they're already having problems, you know, still with trying to do organ artificial organ transplants, you know, or even natural organ transplants.
Yeah, but a chip, you see, the thing about a chip is very small and probably would be coated with something or encased in something that the body will not resist and the body would treat it like anything.
They would not reject,
exactly.
Knee replacements, Mike.
Exactly.
Come on.
They could put plastic in your body. I doubt that there'd be any health risks.
Okay, so what about, you know, if they're like nanite chips? Like what?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they're nanites, even better.
No, nanites even worse because the nanites can be reprogrammed.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm just too much of a naturalist. I don't like this. You know, I don't like that kind of stuff. Just, you know,
I'm with you.
I don't like, first of all, I don't like putting artificial stuff. I mean, I understand it for like health reasons. If I have a friend who broke his leg so bad, he has a little titanium splint for his calf.
But titanium's okay.
Right. But in terms of, I mean, just the whole idea of just, you know, like having numbers for people and then you could just, like, you know, bring
it's
them
like
up
that
on
now.
The
if you're in prison, you got a number. If you're out here, you got a social security number.
I know. That's why I was thinking about Max Headroom. You know how they call those guys who didn't have them? They were called blanks.
There it is. That's exactly what I see happening.
I'm going to be a blank. Watch.
You're going to be a blank. Yeah, but your grandchildren will be chipped.
Not if I can.
I'll be off the grid.
Yeah, but you'll be that crazy
old. I'll be off the chip grid.
See, the thing is, it's like computers, okay? Children born in the last 10 years, they grew up with computers. They can't picture a world without computers. We grew up without them. There are people who are older than us who have either never had a computer or don't like computers. They find, I can remember a certain person in this room who was very anti-computer and internet. Now, they're like a queen on the internet.
I'm very, very, techno-savvy. Like, I love technology, but there's certain things that I gotta draw the limits on.
Mm.
I like them in terms of, like...
What if you had to get into a union to get work as a DP, and they tell you you gotta be chipped? It's part of the... To get health insurance, you have to be chipped because they have to monitor your health all the time to make sure you're okay. Would you refuse to be chipped and then not be able to work in the industry you want to work in?
Well, I mean, I guess that's just kind of relative situation. Is I could always fall back on being an artist or being experimental, but it also depends on what's going on in the culture around me, because there's always alternative avenues. Like, you know, I have my health insurance right now, because I'm not, you know, making a lot, is Medicare, but I have it. I have it so that if something really bad happens, I can go to a hospital.
Okay, but what if Medicare? What if Medicare? And that would make the most sense. Not a healthcare you pay for, but the healthcare that you can get free. If Medicare told you to get Medicare, you have to get chipped. And that's part of the requirement.
I would have to say it would depend on what my options were in terms of what kind of alternative medicines were available and what kind
of... Do you know how much fraud is created every year through Medicare? How much fraud? How much doctors charge for different procedures that they don't even do and charge Medicare for it? So much fraud. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars every year is contributed to fraud by Medicare from people.
What does that mean? Like,
if you were chipped, if it was possible to chip you and actually monitor somebody's health and know if they really broke their leg or what have you, and the doctors are not just putting in these false claims and committing fraud, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Well,
it would save the government hundreds of millions of dollars every year.
Not at the risk of my chip code being distributed amongst any organization that wants to track,
I think this
that would want to track
about,
it's not
very black and white. You know what I'm saying? It's like with anything, and I might be contradicting myself. It's sort of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like there's going to be pros and cons no matter whether we get chipped or not. You know, I just personally don't have a lot of trust and faith in the society that I was born in, that was, you know, founded by crooks and thieves and refugees. I don't have anything against refugees, but just like there's a lot of corruption in the society. This society is corrupt to me because it's not based on like the medical stuff, the chip stuff, the security stuff, the education stuff. It's not based on bettering people. It's based on making more money.
Exactly.
That's an inherent flaw. You don't see that?
No. Especially with the security. How is that based on making more money? Explain that to me.
It's just the essence of, like, crowd control. It's always about, like, how to control people. Like, you know, like, I was reading something where...
Okay, check this out, Evie. What would you feel about if everybody who was coming into this country was chipped so they could monitor where everybody is, and then when you leave the country, you get your chip removed? That way, if any terrorist came into the country, you know, we would know where he was, who he associated with, you know, where he went.
It just doesn't make me comfortable, because I would have to be one of those people to be chipped, and it's not like I'm doing anything wrong. It's just... I don't know.
I'm saying foreigners, okay? Because they say our borders are not patrolled very well. What if anybody entering this country had to be chipped, and they could remove the chip when they leave?
You're asking me a question that I really need to think about, because there's so much.
I don't know. I just see the benefits of chipping. I really do. I'm totally pro chipping. I have nothing to hide from the government. That's why I don't mind the cameras, the surveillance cameras all over the place. I have nothing to hide. I'm not going to be committing any crimes. I see it as somebody watching my back. And I
yeah, I don't.
You know,
see
if I see a cop on the street, I don't say, ooh, you know, a cop looking at me. Hey, look at me, okay? Because if anything happens to me, I'm the first person who's going to be up in that cop's face, okay? If I did get busted for something...
But again, Kathy, it's not that you have something to hide. It's that there are other organizations that will take advantage of you.
I just feel like I've become a privilege now and not a right.
People can take advantage of me now.
But this is a much better system. I mean, it would be easier for them to take advantage of.
I just feel that privacy has become a privilege now, not right. And, you know, it starts getting into gray areas because then people start asking questions like, oh, what's that to hide from? And it's not about hiding something. It's about having a sense of sanctuary
right.
or a sense of personal sanctuary is what I'm talking about.
You don't
about,
like Big Brother?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was like 13, maybe 12 years old when I first read 1984. That really affected me. That scared me a lot. And so maybe that has a lot to do with it. But especially like growing up as a person of color, you know, like just having to deal firsthand with certain kinds of, you know, profiling or certain kinds of ways like society's turned to treat you. And now being older where we live in like a sort of quote-unquote racial utopia, now like it's more of a classist.
Wait a minute. Are we living in utopia?
Well, according to
nobody
some,
told me.
Yes, according to some people, we are.
I just missed out on the whole utopia concept. I didn't realize.
I'm not saying that I think it's utopia. I'm not saying that at all. But according to some people, they think that this, you know, we've gotten over a lot of things, and this is like perfect. You know, this is paradisia.
I hear you.
You know, and the thing is, for me, it's like, and it's a very, listen, I'm all about like keeping people safe and doing the things that need to be do. But it's sort of, I don't know that.
Okay, Evie, check this out. Say in 5 years, there's a company that says, hey, we will chip you if you wish to be chipped, and we will monitor you and your family and your loved ones to know where they are at all times on the planet. You wouldn't have anything against that, right? I mean, if somebody
had a choice.
Listen to me. They'll always find an angle.
If a company came out and said, hey,
like you said, Chris, we're like cell
chip,
phones.
Chip sure. people. We'll chip you and we'll monitor you and
we'll
your
chip
family.
Ya.
And we'll make sure you're okay. And if there's any problem, we'll let you know. If your child gets snatched, we can, like, just like your car, LoJack. We'll find your kid.
We'll find him. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello.
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 I hate niggers.
And niggers hate you.
Yeah, tell that guy, theprincessdrea.com is the one that...
Okay, who's still here? Evie, you still here?
You know who's still there.
Did we lose Evie?
I think we lost Evie. Hello, you're in the air.
Yes, I think you should chip people. I think you should chip them without a problem, because if you want to keep in contact with your kids, with your family, so they know where everybody is.
Yes, I will marry you.
Pro chip.
And yes, we will have a bunch of chippy kids.
Yeah,
little
no
chips
problem.
Off the old
like
blocks,
said,
right?
I don't have anything to hide, so why should I be concerned with what the government thinks about what I'm doing? So,
are you one of those people who volunteer to have your bag searched at the subway?
No, well, I wouldn't bother me. I would take the subway, but sure, they can check it. And they can have cameras all over the place. There's too much going on to be concerned about. Although they will find angles, like you said, to take advantage of you, but
of
I think
course.
The more
corruption.
They found angles with credit cards. Please,
and the internet. Yeah. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, Andrea, what happened to Tool?
She's gone. Andrea's gone.
Yes, sir. Go to sleep, sir.
Hello,
Andrea's gone.
Hello, you're in the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right, Chris, you have a story?
Yes, I have a story here. It's one screen, two different views. An LCD display that lets you watch your favorite soap opera on TV while someone else surfs the internet using the same screen has been developed by consumer electronics firm Sharp.
Wait a minute, one screen, two views.
One screen where you can actually see two different programs.
And how do they achieve this?
Okay, the screen can be simultaneously display two images, with the image that is seen depending on the viewing angle of the people watching it.
If I sit on the left, I can be on a computer, and you sit on the right, you can be watching a movie.
That's right. So it's the angle that the eye is receiving the light. You get a different...
what do they call this technology?
Well, okay, they call this technology... Okay, let me continue. It consists of a conventional LCD screen overlaid with a series of alternating opaque and transparent strips called a parallax barrier. This sends light from the TV input in one direction and from the internet in another. Some people in different places see different images. The display could also allow a passenger in the front seat of a car to watch a DVD on the satellite navigation screen without distracting the driver, who would be seeing another totally different image, like the journey planner.
That's pretty.
I think that's great. Now that's definite. I mean, that, you know, it's actually so logical. I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet. Years ago.
It is actually pretty life is like science fiction.
Okay, Cousin Kathy, you have a story.
This one's pretty hard to believe.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hello. Sorry about that. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, what happened to the band Tool? I haven't heard anything about them lately.
I don't know. Go to the website. Hello, you're in the air.
Coward.
Hello?
Hello?
I hate niggas.
I was watching TV, too. Hello, you're in the air.
All right, it's Evie again.
Hey, Evie.
I got it.
What?
This is the thing about privacy. Okay. Most people, they have a certain set of parameters, right? They're like status quo, right? And when you start deviating, like with simple things like hair or, way you dress, the way you talk, or when you start deviating from certain things, those are the things that I'm worried about. I mean, not saying like the chip is going to like alter those things, but everyone's all like, what you got to hide? And it's not, my sentiment is not coming from about what you got to hide. I have lived a life where I've just kind of always been on the fringe. And always kind of like had to fend off or to fit or,
Evie, it's fringe dwellers like yourself that cause the problems in society.
Well, this is the thing. People look at me.
Chipper.
They think that. But I think I'm just as much of a benefit to society. You know, being an artist, being like a person of color with dreadlocks. You know, being someone who believes in like homeschooling, you know, someone who believes in, women's groups, you know, whatever.
All this
women's
will be on
groups.
Your chip.
So we're back, and you've been listening to a very old episode of Night Shift featuring Chris Griffin, who's no longer here with us, Chris Taylor on the phone, Cousin Kathy, Andrea in the studio. Andrea's in Hawaii now, and that was 12 years ago.
My goodness gracious.
So we were ahead of the times with the chip thing. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to have the rest of that show. That was actually a three-hour show.
Yeah,
I think when we used to do 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Byron Saunders. So you are still tuned to listener-sponsored radio.
Yes, sir.
WBAI.
Night Show.
99.5 FM.
It's my favorite show.
The name of the show.
Night Show.
Thank you.
display that lets you watch your favorite soap opera on TV while someone else surfs the internet using the same screen has been developed by consumer electronics firm Shaw.
Wait a minute, one screen, two views.
One screen where you can actually see two different programs.
And how do they achieve this?
Okay, the screen can simultaneously display two images, with the image that is seen depending on the viewing angle of the people watching it.
If I sit on the left, I can be on a computer, and you sit on the right, you can be watching a movie.
That's right. So it's the angle that the eye is receiving the light. You get a different...
what do they call this technology?
Well, okay, they call the thing... Okay, let me continue. It consists of a conventional LCD screen overlaid with a series of alternating opaque and transparent strips called a parallax barrier. This sends light from the TV input in one direction and from the internet in another. Some people in different places see different images. The display could also allow a passenger in the front seat of a car to watch a DVD on the satellite navigation screen without distracting the driver, who will be seeing another totally different image, like the journey planner.
That's pretty.
I think that's great. Now that's definite. I mean, that, you know, it's actually so logical. I'm surprised they haven't that it hasn't been done yet. Years ago.
It is actually pretty life is like science fiction. Okay, Cousin Kathy, you have a story.
This one's pretty hard to believe.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hello. Sorry about that. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, what happened to the band Tool? I haven't heard anything about them lately.
I don't know. Go to the website. Hello, you're in the air.
Coward.
Hello?
Hello?
I hate niggas.
Watching TV, too. Hello, you're in the air.
All right, it's Evie again.
Hey, Evie.
I got it.
What?
This is the thing about privacy. Okay, most people, like, they have a certain set of parameters, right? They're like status quo, right? And when you start deviating, like, with simple things like hair or... You know, way you dress, the way you talk, or when you start deviating from certain things, those are the things that I'm worried about. I mean, not saying like the chip is gonna like alter those things, but everyone's all like, what you gotta hide? And my sentiment is not coming from about what you gotta hide. I have lived a life where I've just kind of always been on the fringe and always kind of like had to fend off.
Evie, it's fringe dwellers like yourself that cause the problems in society.
Well, this is the thing. People look at me.
Chipper.
They think that. But I think I'm just as much of a benefit to society. You know, being an artist, being like, a person of color with dreadlocks, you know, being someone who believes in like homeschooling, you know, someone who believes in, you know, I don't know, women's groups, you know, whatever.
All this
women's
will be on
groups.
Your chip.
Women's groups.
All this information will be on her chip.
That's right. All this information.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing.
Radical, like, that's right. Any radical, they'll know what kind of movies you watch,
Chipper.
What you're renting.
That's right.
The thing is something.
Chipper,
listen,
you're laughing,
listen,
but
listen,
these are all facts, though, Mike. That's
no, I know
why,
it's facts.
That's why you don't
that's
work.
That's why life is like science fiction.
They can go to the library and check out any books you've taken out in the last 10 years. Wait. What are you talking about? Come on.
That's true.
Let me finish my point.
Please.
What I'm saying is you can have certain kinds of... practices in your life that aren't about being a danger to society, but that can be interpreted as such. Like what you were saying, like the books that you read. You know?
How to make a bomb.
I think that's an extreme case. I have on my bookshelf Women Race in Class, Politics of This,
Radical,
like Mandela, like what's like nowadays, because we've gotten to a certain point, like, okay, that's okay, but there was a certain time where that would be considered radical.
You still sound radical to me.
Thinking.
I think you're
and
still radical.
Because it was considered radical thinking, people, I mean, look at the McCarthy era. Was Paul Robeson really someone who was a danger to
He was
society?
A commie!
I'm not saying I'm pro-communist, right? I don't want any, like, feds coming to my door or nothing like that.
All I'm saying.
Listen, let me tell you don't want the feds coming to your door, okay?
I don't want nobody coming to my door, really.
I can tell you. You don't want no feds at no door.
Huh?
I said, I can tell you, you do not want the feds at your door. I've had them at my door.
What I'm saying is,
you tend to ruin your day.
Yes.
We live in a society that is more and more edging towards this, you better act right in all kinds of ways. Like, you can't even deviate slightly. You know, unless you're doing it in the commercialized sense. You know, and it's
you cannot deviate in that unless you make money. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I'm having a hard time articulating it because it's just something I just tend to kind of live with.
You'll figure it out. You'll before the show is over, you'll be able to articulate it. Cousin Kathy, you have a story?
Yes. July 26, 2005. Man gets amputated foot back after police sees it briefly.
What?
Hey. Life is like science fiction, Mike. Lawrence, Kansas. Ezekiel, check out this guy's name. Ezekiel Rubbottom.
Stop.
Stop.
Easy Rubbottom.
Stop.
Now has his left foot back exactly where he wants it, in a bucket on the front porch. Police in Kansas has returned the amputated foot to him after seizing it during the weekend to check out just how it came to be there.
Damn.
The 21-year-old man's foot was amputated 3 weeks ago after a series of medical problems, and he started keeping it in a 5-gallon, 20-liter bucket filled with formaldehyde, bless you.
Damn.
It came to the attention of police after a call from a parent whose child reported seeing the severed foot. Officers went to the home late Saturday night, found the foot,
and some
Rubbottom's friends, but no sign of Rubbottom himself. Unsure of what to make of the unusual discovery.
Easy Rubbottom.
Police confiscated the severed foot and put it into evidence storage. We had to make sure no crime was committed, said Sergeant Dan Ward. Rubbottom, an artist and, this is, I swear, recovering methamphetamine addict, should tell you something.
That should tell you something right there.
An occasionally hip-hop master of ceremonies. That he was born, yes.
He was DJ One Foot.
What? One Foot, check.
Stop. Damn. DJ One Foot.
Said he was born with a clubbed foot and had dealt all his life with precious swords and infections.
Mm.
An infection this summer became so severe that doctors at Lawrence Memorial Hospital decided it should be amputated. Rubbottom asked to have the severed foot. A pathologist at the hospital checked to make sure it wouldn't be a hazard and told him he could have it.
Hey.
Provided he kept it in the container.
Take your foot back.
Yeah, take it. Take your damn foot.
Damn.
Provided he kept it in a container labeled with instructions for handling the formaldehyde. Callan Shoemate, a vice president at the hospital, said...
Shoemate?
Yeah, Shoe...
Stop.
Oh, no.
Rubbottom and Shoemate.
And the amputated foot.
Right? Where did you get this story?
Lawrence, Kansas, right? Karen Shoemate, a vice president at the hospital, said people can keep parts removed from their bodies if they want them. They've had women want their uterus, she said. People take toxins.
Women want their uterus. What do you put it on the mantle there? Hey, check it out. It's like you got. It's like you got any beer? Oh my God! What's this? Oh, that's just my uterus.
People take tonsils. They take appendices. I think it's unusual that someone would want a foot. But it's within their rights because it's theirs.
I hear you. It's within their rights.
That's all I need to see. Someone's foot floating in a bottle of tobacco.
Yeah, especially if you're a child. That's some scariness.
On the porch.
Damn.
It's all cool. It's all good, said Rubbottom. Now I've got my foot back.
All cool.
That's all
I wanted. Damn. I hope it was the good foot. All right. Hello, you in the air.
Remember that movie, My Left Foot?
Yes. Exactly. Hey. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Are you pro-chip?
No, I'm anti-chip.
Anti-chip.
I'm just wondering, and by the way, I work on the 7 line.
Mm. Yeah, at first you were mad, now you're glad, right?
I'm mad anytime I don't make no overtime.
I hear you.
I
don't
know what you're talking about.
Chip him.
So what do you think about the MTA spending all this money, on building a new facility? And meanwhile, they're firing people like crazy and getting rid of them, and there's bombings and everything, but they're going to have less people in the subways.
And closing subway token booths.
Do you feel safer with the closing token booths?
Do I feel safer?
Well, I mean, you know, if you can be objective, considering you work
I'm always objective. That doesn't really affect me, per se.
Because you don't care.
It's really about the customers and not my...
I understand. So you work for the MTA, and the rest of the world is customers to you.
Right. But is it fair?
No.
Do you think it's fair?
Looking at it differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about whether I feel safe, because I travel differently than a customer. I don't go through a token. I travel through yards, and you know, it's a little bit different. Now, when they do one-man trains now, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that
would
be a problem. How do I feel? I'm against that.
Mm.
If the motorman has a heart attack, who's going to save him?
Nobody.
Or if he gets robbed?
Well, go automatic.
Yeah, automatic, right. So what happens to the people working on the track and the train don't stop?
Well, you know, automatic.
Well, we're calling about the chips, right?
Yeah, we're talking about chips. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, are you just being facetious? It seems like the young lady, she seems pro-chip over there.
She is pro-chip. She seems facetious. Well, she's got a facetious nature. She's not actually being facetious. She just sounds facetious.
My chip is programmed to be facetious.
yeah,
she's got a facetious chip in her.
It wouldn't happen anyhow because...
Oh, it wouldn't happen?
No, I'm going to tell you why.
I think it's going to happen, son.
I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why it's not going to happen. Talk to me.
All right. It wouldn't happen because of the religious right. They will associate that with probably the mark of the beast.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why I disagree. No, I think fanatics will associate it with. I think that the values of that religious and moral right will be the exact values that these chips will purport to support.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think the religious right will be supportive of it because it will help old people and children and keep track of sex offenders. And let's face it, you know, who is going to start getting chipped first? The people who have no control over the getting chipped. I don't mean the children. I'm talking about the sex offenders and you talk about criminals in jail. Who's getting chipped? Who will get chipped first? I don't have to say. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, the people who deserve to get chipped.
Your people.
It's not,
your people
it's not
be
gonna
chipped.
Happen and
chip them, baby, chip them.
I can't believe she's taking that position. Because,
well, you
I'm
know,
sorry.
She's a facetious person.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about.
No, remember Bernie Goetz when he was on the train and he shot the kids who were robbed? I was like, go Bernie,
see?
Go Bernie for mayor.
She's
okay. Live. Okay. No, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. Okay.
What about live by the chip?
That's right. That's
die
right.
By the chip.
That's it.
Nothing have to do with the other.
Nothing. Sir, come on. You know, everything doesn't have to make sense. This is night shift.
I deal on a logical basis. So.
All right, then what the hell are you listening to this show for?
I get off late, so I figured that there was... I know there's a lot
you
of insane
you thought there was some logic.
Calling.
No, there's a lot of insane people calling. That's true. And what's your name, sir?
Batar.
Batar? Spell that.
P-T-A-H. Foundation.
Star Trek Enterprise.
With Batar.
Picard on the planet.
Yes. Batar?
With Batar.
Oh, really?
No, there was a character, Batar.
Batar.
Yes.
No, it's Batar. It's an Egyptian name.
Thank you.
No, it's an Egyptian name. Right. So it's a little deep.
Oh, sorry. No. Sorry about that.
What I was going to tell that.
Hello. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'm pro-chip.
Pro-chip,
yeah,
why,
hey.
Sir?
And I tell you why. I'm a law enforcement officer in
okay.
Florida.
Oh, talk to me, sir.
My man right
now,
here.
Now,
tell him like
think,
it is.
Talk to me. Will
tell
we
him
be,
like it is,
will
my
be
man.
Be chipped?
I'm in Lee County, and I love the idea. Everybody down here loves the idea.
Good.
Are you listening
good.
Down there? You all listening?
And you know why I tell you? Because we bring in guys that are sex offenders, like you say, repeat sex offenders, put them through the system. A year later, we catch them back on the road. Somebody else catches them back again, put them through the system again. If we knew where they were 24/7, it would stop them way before they get to the kids.
That's what I'm saying. That's
all
what
right.
I'm saying. It's
well,
gonna happen.
Right.
And
so
I agree with some of these guys to say. I mean, I don't agree with them, but I see their point of view because they're criminals. The way the guys that don't want to chip are criminals. They're low lives that don't that hang up with some. It's a civil rights issue. It's not a civil rights issue. It's a protect. Kids, the elderly, the people that are weak need to be protected from the bad people, and the chip will protect them.
Now, let me ask you something, sir. You say you're listening. Are you listening right now? You're in Florida right now?
No, sir. I just came here in New York. My brother's he's a police officer in the 79 precinct, and I'm here on vacation. Oh, but yeah. I'm looking for a parking spot, and I ran into this station, and I've never heard this before. I hear these people saying it's waiting 20 minutes to get online, you know, to get on with you guys, saying the N-word. I mean, I was like, you know, I was like kind of crazy station to listen to.
It
but
is crazy station, WBAI 99.5 FM. So you're enjoying the show. The name of the show is Night Shift.
Oh, it is?
Yes. And what's your name, sir?
Raul, R-A-U-L.
So, Raul, you think that the chipping, you think it, do you, but now, you're pro-chip, do you see it happening in our future?
I would vote for it if I had to.
Good for you, my man.
The guy that I work with, I'm Hispanic, I'm Cuban, and I was raised in Cuba until I got here when I was nine. Most of the guys in my department are white guys. I mean, we're all mixed, very few black. But everybody, every cop, no matter white, red, Hispanic, they're all for it because we are the law. We know what it's like. We feel it. We see it. We
they deal
it,
with
we
it every day.
I hear that. But see, it's okay to chip the offenders, you know, the...
Wait, say that again, because I don't believe I just heard this.
Right. Free.
Yes.
As a free, free law-abiding citizens don't have to be chipped. Let me ask you, Raul, do you feel that law-abiding citizens should be chipped too for their own safety?
I think they should. I have three kids, and I would do it to my kids.
You would chip your kids right
you.
Away.
Thank you. Thank you. My man.
Raul?
And I would do it to myself because I'm out on the road by myself, and if something was to happen to me out there, I would want somebody to come and pick me up.
That's why it will happen, I'm just telling you. Now, Raul, I want you to stay because we're going to take some calls, and I'm sure there's some people who totally disagree with you. But now you can be there inside with Cousin Kathy.
Thank you, Raul.
Hello, you on the air. Hello. What's your phone number here? Hello, you on the air. Hello.
How you doing?
Hey. Are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
I'm anti-chip, and I can't believe what I'm hearing.
All right, talk to me. Why are you anti-chip, sir?
There's ready to be sheep out there. Who's going to watch the watchers? Who's going to determine what's criminal activity, what's not? People, learn your freaking history.
Mm.
After slavery, there was a clause in the 14th Amendment that said that you can't force people to work if they break the law. All of a sudden, everything was illegal. You know what I mean? Who's going to determine who's going to watch those who are watching you?
There are so many watchdog groups out here today.
Hold on.
The lady who's pro-chip, why don't you give your home key to the priest to make sure that you're safe, so the cops go in there and make sure everything's all right. Why don't you just give your email address and your personal ID to the authorities.
That's why they're called authorities.
Every single day. You know, you guys are giving up your individuality, your humanness.
That's right. I totally agree with you.
Quizlings. All right, now listen, Raul. What are your thoughts, sir?
If we do something wrong and we have a complaint against us, we have a commute. Hello.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, we have a committee that is based on seven people. Three of those people are community people that have nothing to do with police work, and four other ones are officers from our department. If they see there's something wrong, the officer will get in trouble because there's a vote.
So you're saying basically...
It works so effectively, right? So,
It works. There's nothing that's perfect out there.
Okay, so you know what? I don't want to take that chance with you live then and put a chip in me.
I understand.
But if you don't commit a crime, then you wouldn't have a problem.
Hello, that's it. That's my point exactly.
What am I worrying about?
I'm not out here killing
anybody. So, Raul, are you saying one of two things? Are you saying that if everybody's chipped, if you're not committing crimes, you have nothing to worry about? Or are you saying only criminals need to be chipped?
If you want to go get chipped, you go get chipped. If you want your body to be found, you go get chipped. If you don't want your body to be found, then don't go. But if you're a criminal, you should go get chipped.
So you're for voluntary chipping?
Voluntary chipping.
Unless you're a criminal. If you break the law and you go through the system, you're going to get chipped.
Mm.
That's it.
If you come through the system, you're going to get chipped.
Hello.
I'm with that. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, I guess you hung up on me before.
No, it was an accident. Go ahead, sir.
Do you remember... during the Gulf War, and they gave the soldiers all them shots, and they said, listen, they're going to need this.
These shots.
Remember what happened to them 10 years later? Mm. It came down with all this stuff.
So basically, you're saying you do not trust the government to allow them to have that kind of power over us. Is that what you're saying?
Well ask yourself this.
No, I'm asking you, sir. I want to know for you.
You believe that those in charge will be chipping their children or themselves?
Well, I think you just heard Raul said he would chip himself and his children, and Raul is representation of the law, the quote-unquote authorities.
Raul is seriously constipated.
Well, you see, but to insult him doesn't take away
his... I'm not trying to insult him. I'm really
well,
not
what makes you say he's constipated?
You don't think the president has some sort of chip on him at all times?
Mm. On his
not,
shoulder.
But not in him.
Stop.
But we have guys with leg braces at home and home arrest, and that's okay with some people, right?
They have Martha Stewart, okay?
Oh, please.
She's, for all intents and purposes, chipped right now. Okay? Well,
you're tuned to Listen Sponsored Radio, WBAI. The show is called Night Shift, where life is like science fiction.
Still on the air?
Yes, we're still in the air, and we're talking about the concept that everybody could be chipped, and it could be for your own good. That's what we've been talking about here. We only got a few minutes left. We're in Tony Short's time slot. Normally this would be person to person, but you're listening to Night Shift, which is normally on Mondays from midnight till 2 a.m. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with
Christopher Griffin.
Cousin Kathy.
And Cousin Kathy.
Pro-chip.
Pro-chip. Cousin Kathy, pro-chip.
Chocolate
and on the phone
chip.
We have Raul. Raul, you still there?
Yes, sir.
And who else is here with us?
Kathy needs
help. Well, Kathy does need help, but that has beside the
does
point.
Does need help.
That's beside the point. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, if they start the chipping, I'm going to Africa.
I hear you. No chipping in Africa. Hello, you're in the air.
Send my pension to Africa.
Send your pension to Africa. Hello, you're in the air.
It'll be chipped.
To send my pension for a coalition for a chip-free America. Hello, you're in the air.
It's Evie again.
Evie, what do you think of Raul?
The cop.
Yes,
hey,
who
Raul?
Knows the deal?
Raul?
Who knows the deal?
The cop.
Who's hip deep in it every day.
He's
and
hip
who
deep
knows
in
the deal?
Okay, so this is my question. You know, you keep saying if you're not a criminal, if you're not committing a crime, what's the problem? So I want to know how's it. Let's look at the chip and profiling, like racial profiling. I mean, come on.
Will the chip be used to racial profile? Of course it will. Will the chip be used inappropriately? Of course it will. But the issue is. For the overall, there's many things that are quote-unquote for the overall good. Like the internet is for the overall good, but there are many people who use it to scam and destroy and rip off and all those kinds of things.
Two words, child pornography.
There it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that everything can be utilized for evil. Now, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not saying that I'm pro-chip. I'm just putting it out there.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I'm asking, what are we saying here, though? Like, are we saying it's a necessary evil?
I'm saying that we're headed there. That's my prediction.
Of course.
Credit cards are somewhat of a necessary evil.
That's
okay?
True.
You can't,
that's
per,
true.
You know, you can't do
true.
Much with
no,
that
that's
one.
True.
You know
what, our culture is built on your debt.
That's right.
The profiting of your debt.
That's right.
You know what the problem is? The people don't understand that these predators cannot be stopped.
You know, I don't have a problem with the predators, you know, being
chipped.
Chip some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time.
That's right.
See, flip-flop. I think a little flip-flop from Evie and a little flip-flop from Chris over here.
Oh, flip-flop from Evie.
Flip-flop.
I'm not a flip-flop. I told you
Oh, no, but you're coming around. You're coming
don't
around
let her
chipping.
Get you. She's getting
you're coming
your
around and chipping, baby.
No.
You're coming around
you
to chipping.
I told you before that it is not a black and white issue.
Chip.
It's not an absolute. There's shades of gray in everything.
Mm.
Okay? There are shades of gray in everything, and if someone is a repeat offender for something that's, you know, very offensive, like...
Hey, you have to rape
a
child
repeat, one time for me.
Rape a child one time for me.
That's right.
Chip.
Exactly.
Just do it once.
You don't have to
rape
yourself.
An old lady one time.
Well, okay, that's right. Well, like we said, you know, it's
going to happen to criminals first, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
I say all this to say... For those of you who do not believe me, take this. The companies that are the leaders in this technology, that is the stock to buy.
Baby, I'm there.
You hear what I'm saying to you? You heard it here. You could be rich. You don't invest. Just don't do it then. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and it's coming. They're shipping livestock, okay? And there's reasons for that. You know how many cattle there are? You know what kind of contract it is? Invest in microchip implants. There it is.
So
that's my prediction.
How much time do we have?
Well, you ain't got that much time. I think some things, you're going to remember this program in the fall.
Okay, what is your projection?
My projection is that the chipping, as people have already indicated to us, has already begun. I'm saying it's just going to continue. I think there'll be sectors. Now, the animal population is being chipped as we speak. Livestock are being chipped. People's pets are being chipped. All these pets that are in the ASPCA and everything, they're all chipped.
The criminals are next, Mike.
The criminals are next. That's what I'm saying. Criminals are next.
Rightfully so.
I'm saying it's going to happen. It didn't just pop into my brain. It's going to pop in the brain of somebody in a position to make it happen. They'll lobby for it. It will happen. And once it does, and once the benefits are put out there, all it will need is some people who have had their child raped or molested by some repeat offender who is or murdered.
A congressman.
That's right. A congressman who's – that's correct. Somebody who, if they had been chipped.
Somebody with power.
That's right. Somebody with power. That's what's going to take. I wrote the movie.
You wrote the movie.
The Chipping of America. ABC Movie of the Week. An event. Television event. So there it is. You're tuned to Listen to Sponsored Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. Remember the prophecy of the microchip here on Listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI. So let's see. The phones are lit up. Everybody's got something to say about chips. Should we take a few more calls before Max comes in? You want to see who's there?
Go for it. I'm going to get off.
Well, no, you don't have to get off yet. Hello, you're in the air. Hello, sir.
Somebody's
playing back our show.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what that was. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
You know, I got a little different twist to this.
Talk to me. Twist.
You know, basically,
twist. Twist away.
Chip, no chip is, as you know, doesn't mean anything because we are in an evolution.
Cultural evolution.
Which means that communication is the foundation because we came from a world in which space and time was equal to zero.
Wait, let me digest that. We came from a world where space and time were equal to zero.
So therefore, there's no space between me and you, so we're always communicating because we're all one.
Yes.
So we're trying to get back into that infinite
past the Chiba. Okay, I'm with you, sir.
I mean, all of those discussion about chip, no chip, all that, you know, things are going to happen, and they're going to happen for whatever reason. It's not for any reason in which we think about, but it's for the reason of the fundamental in which we came from, the infinite, which is everything is one.
You may as well be chipped.
Yes. I mean, we can see the internet, we can see it through the cell phone, and it's all about trying to get back to the one. And I think there's going to be a point in which we will not need technology because we will be able to exceed all of that by just thinking about it.
You are clearly a pioneer in thought, and we're going to have to let you go because Max is here, and this... Raul, stop laughing.
Yeah, until then, chip in.
Okay. You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. For free passes for August 9th for Red Eye, you can email us at nitesshifts@AOL.com or you can call 212-209-2925. That's 212-209-2925. Find out where to get your tickets. They'll be here at the station after Wednesday, and you can go to Jerry Olinger's Movie Materials Store on 35th Street and get the address from the phone book or anything. There'll be tickets there starting Wednesday as well. But this is Night Shift. We're on Mondays at midnight.
Well, Mike, we're going to close with very interesting conversation. It is definitely an issue. I think that, unfortunately, you know, I think there is some truth to that, and that possibility, you know, that we will start, you know, monitoring, you know, individuals with microscopic implants.
I agree, Max. Are you pro-chip or anti-chip?
Anti.
He's anti-chip. Mm. See, of course he is.
Of course.
Until next week, cousin, pro-chip, Kathy.
That's who I am. That's my new moniker, yes.
Okay.
Coloring book?
Yeah, it's the Deputy Dan coloring book. We're going to read it to the kids.
I'm going to help translate this. This is a publication for school children, and it's in Spanish.
Sí. Oh, boy, this is going to be good.
Mi nombre es Deputy Dan, del Departamento del Sheriff, del Condado de Los Ángeles.
My name is Deputy Dan, and I work for the Sheriff of that's a very strange word.
Condado
there.
De Los Ángeles.
I work for the Sheriff of the Jail of Los Angeles.
Deputy Dan nos dice, nunca suban a carros de personas extrañas.
Don't get into any strange cars with Deputy Dan. What that says there.
Les enseña a cuidarse por las calles.
Deputy Dan will walk small Chinese children across the street.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Is that nice?
Deténgase, mire, escuche, antes de cruzar la calle.
Run like hell when you cross the street, because Deputy Dan is after you. That's for
that's
the
a
ghettos.
Good one.
No siga la pelota hacia la calle.
Now, this is a very interesting. This is linguistic here. The translation of that might be let's rock and roll or let the dance go on. Word for word, it's don't follow the balls when they make the street. It's very hard to translate literally from Spanish.
Don't follow the balls when they make the street.
Something like that. It's,
obedeza las leyes para su seguridad.
You better obey all the laws or they'll put you in security prison.
That's going back in time. 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 That's going back in time.
Night Shift 12 years ago.
Wow.
We were ahead of the times.
Yes, Byron. Indeed.
So, if you like Night Shift, you can visit us on lifeislikesciencefiction.com on the web. And we've got shows going back for over 10 years. You can like us on Facebook, N-I-T-E-S-H-I-F-T. You can follow us on Twitter, that's at N-I-T-E-S-H-I-F-T-Z. That's Night Shift with a Z at the end. And there it is, Byron. Any parting thoughts?
Yes. Please, support. We need it.
This is true.
Give love and support each other. We need it. Night Shift, a unifying force in the universe.
A unifying force in the universe. Night Shift, a unifying force in the universe.
Listen up, sweetheart. If you board that plane without making a donation to WBAI, one of these days you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, and for the rest of your life. WBAI is the only station with the guts and determination to seriously challenge this nightmare Trump. The rest of the media are cowards. It's the voice of the poor, oppressed, downtrodden, and the imprisoned. You know, Rick, this fella Trump is bad news. He's worse than Major Strasser. That's the case, Louie. Why don't you make a donation? I already did at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. Louie, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
The success of WBAI's recent fund drive is thanks to you, and we just want to say thank you. I'm Catherine Davis. Here at the station, we take the notion of community radio really seriously. When we say we're here because of you, that's not just something we say to make you feel good. It's our operating principle. Your generous donations have empowered WBAI to challenge the status quo for the last 57 years. From all of us to all of you, thank you for keeping Resistance Radio alive in New York City. If you made a pledge during our summer fund drive and haven't sent it in yet, why not make today the day that you stand up to the corporate media monopoly? If you missed out on the drive, it's not too late. You can still make a pledge by going to give2wbai.org. And thank you, as always, for your support.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge, where journalism, culture, politics, and activism converge. I'm Dred Scott Keyes.
Good old days were full of sunshine. Now they're full of rain.